Ladies and gentlemen, the story you're about to see is true. The names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Online, worldofwrestling.com presents your number one action and comedy radio show based around the world of professional wrestling. OWW Radio.
The King of Kings goes back on his throne.
The champ is here.
The man!
You gotta be the man!
Whoa! It looks like there's a new sheriff in town!
And man, is it about time!
And this is not a mirage! This is real! This is here! This is now! This is the second coming!
Now your host, Alan. What's his name? Wojelicious? Wojelicki?
Your house started to shake, the heavens opened up, and God himself spoke to you and said this.
Wojcik, is it?
It's Wojcik. Alan Wojcik. Do I really need to write this out for you? God.
Now, your host, Alan Wojcik.
Everybody, and hopefully you're not freezing your butt off like the rest of the United States is. Welcome to another edition of Online World of Wrestling Radio, brought to you by the folks at the Wild Talk Radio Network, WTR Productions, also the big bosses. OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com is our home site. If you ever wanted to know where do they get all these amazing information for their interviews and whatnot, well, that's where I do it. I do it from the home site, which is OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. If you are joining us tonight, it is, as always, a themed musical evening. And in honor of our guest, Mr. Jim Cornette, we let him pick the music. So he said, I want some Southern rock. And I say, oh, baby, we can get you some Southern rock. So during the evening, as you heard, we had some Lynyrd Skynyrd there. We had some Ram Jam with Black Betty earlier. We'll get some 38 Special, Charlie's Daniels Band, Marshall Tucker Band, Molly Hatchet, Little Feet, and Allman Brothers Band. And every time I hear that song, all I think of is the movie in Con Air with Steve Buscemi's character rambles on the unfortunate fate the Lynyrd Skynyrd experienced in their heyday. Number tonight, as always, 267-297-1397. If you Skype, which we do, we're cool. It's the official phone operation of the show. You can Skype Sir Rockin. He is two words. Want to advise you that if you're thinking, hey, I'll wait till 10 o'clock and I'll call Jim Cornette. No, you can't. Mrs. Cornette has a little rule in her house. She doesn't like interviews past a certain amount of time because Jim gets a little, well, rambunctious. So, no, you can't do it. Unfortunately, we're pre-taped. We're sorry. I feel bad. But it's worth a listen, believe me. Spug was on that call, and one of our other contributors was on the call as well. We'll introduce him in a moment, because it is his first time here on Online World of Wrestling Radio. Joining us tonight from the Wrestle Talk Radio Show, OTL, Bashing the Books, from Tap Outs to Knockouts. I think he's also the head of operations for CENTCOM and SOCOM, NATO Allied Forces. He is the Grand Commander. He is Mace, and we apologize for your World of Warcraft being down.
That's okay. It came back online this morning. I've been playing before the show.
Of course, and he was supposed to be with us, but unfortunately, 3 a.m. Australia time, not prime for interviews.
Yeah, definitely not. Definitely not. Yes. And just for the moment, I'm going to be stepping away because I think my chips are burning.
Uh-oh, that's never a good thing. Well, that gives me time to introduce a new contributor to our program. He will be hopping in and out from time to time. He also comes with a list of accolades that is very long. and give me a minute to get through all of them. He is one of the big bosses here at Online World of Wrestling. He is the creator of ClickWrestle.com, which is the official on-demand site of Online World of Wrestling, Online World of Wrestling Radio. He is a promoter who is promoted for All Pro Wrestling, the founder of Chick Fight, which you can find on ClickWrestle. One of our guests, Cheerleader Melissa, is a member of that roster. If you were with us earlier in 2010, we had on Survivor Humperdinck and Carl Lauer, and that came courtesy of the Cauliflower Alley Club, where our new contributor, Jason Dedrich, is an executive board member, and we're very happy that he's able to join us tonight. You know, he is out in San Francisco. I'm sure he's still sitting by the bay going, this isn't how it's supposed to be.
Wow, well, thanks a lot, Alan. That was quite an introduction. Unfortunately, that doesn't all fit on my business card, but maybe if I use the front and back next time. But, hey, it's a real honor being on the show, and I look forward to being a contributor wherever I can help out for you guys. Thanks a lot.
You don't have the Mark Zuckerberg business card. It says I'm CEO Bitches on it.
No, not yet.
that's a shame. We will be delving into many areas of pro wrestling tonight. And the first area we're going to go into is, well, TNA will go later because we'll possibly have the Spud guy on later. And since he is our resident TNA hater, it'd be a shame to not talk TNA with him around. However, we're going to get right into WWE since this was the go-home edition of Monday Night Raw, as we will be watching with the WrestleTalk Radio crew through a pay-per-view provider of your choice or bar or eating establishment in your area, the TLC pay-per-view. Remember, WWE apparently owns the letters T and L and C, and that's why we got Full Metal Mayhem a couple weeks ago at TNA Final Resolution. This, again, was another three-hour Monday Night Raw. And as we'll address in a few moments, USA Network is really high on the product, because if you're a fan of USA Network's programming on other nights of the week before Christmas, you're not going to like what they got coming up there. We touched briefly last week on the idea of the Slammy Awards, that up until recent years, before they decided to do the traditional Saturday night induction of the Hall of Fame class, the Slammies was actually the Saturday night banquet thing at WrestleManias, going back as far as WrestleMania 12, because you had a visual confrontation between Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart before the amazing 60-minute Iron Man. And some of these awards, you were just sitting there scratching your head. The biggest shock, and we'll try to break them down as best we can, but for fans of wrestling, nothing makes you cringe a little weirder than the following phrase. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome out former WCW World Champion David Arquette. That's right, kids. Mr. Arquette, or Mr. Cox, if you're talking about Courtney and they're together, they're not together. I guess he had been yelling at her beforehand because when he came out, I wanted to just get here's a throat lozenge. Help yourself to him. He presented Shocker of the Year. No, not the Mexican star for the Nexus debut. We had Kelly Kelly and TJ Wilson. I know he's Tyson Kidd. Sorry, it's TJ Wilson. Present the Despicable Me Award, which was awarded to CM Punk singing to Rey Mysterio's daughter. I believe Mace picked that on Russell Talk. Mace or Omega got that on Russell Talk Radio Sunday night. They did a pick'em thing there. Kozlov and Santino presented the shining moment, which went to our Broadway friend Pee Wee Herman. Vicky Guerrero and Jerry Lawler gave the Holy Whatever Award to John Cena and Batista, which set up something which we'll address in a few moments. Arquette came back out and presented an award to the little child who I think was from Orlando, Florida, at the Monday Night Raw, where Miz won the championship and she had that grr face going. And then that set up something with The Miz later on. We had the return of Captain Cupcake, or Captain Charisma, as some people like to call him. Edge and Christian presented the Oh Snap Meltdown Award, which I was right. Edge and the computer got it. Darn, I was wrong. It didn't reveal the GM. So if you had the betting pool for this Monday Night Raw, damn, I lost again. William Regal and JTG, we found him, so thanks for your wanted posters, and we found him. We're still looking for Desmond Wolf, but I've heard stories that he may have been found. We're not sure. We have to look at him to see if he matches our photos. Presented the Knucklehead of the Year Award for Mae Young defeating Lay Cool. The Big Show presented the Moment of the Year Award, which was the streak versus career from this past WrestleMania. Teddy Long presented Superstar of the Year, and big shock, our friend Marky Mark. John Cena won it. Heaven forbid Cena not win. And, of course, Michael Cole presented the Quote of the Year Award to himself. Before we get into the actual matches from the evening, Mace, could we have lived without this whole thing? As I said, it was, for years before, it was something attached to WrestleMania weekend. Now it's just, I guess they're trying to grab some ratings, but was this something that you were actually sitting there going, cool, slammies?
Not really. I pretty much predicted every single one of these. I think there was only two that I got wrong at one point, but they were calls that I made that was like, I really want this to win, but I know this is going to win instead. I even called Lay Cool having a slammy each because, you know, you can't give them just one of anything.
Heaven forbid.
And it's quite amusing. The Moment of the Year award goes to the only nomination that wasn't changed at the last minute by WWE.
So, Jason, you've been involved in big events and you're promoting and whatnot, but especially knowing that you had a Monday Night Football game on, which turned out to be amazing if you're a fan of the Ravens and the Texans. You had plenty of heart attacks. And then, of course, the incident in Minneapolis, which led to the New York market and Minneapolis market. Probably a majority of your fans weren't even going to watch now knowing that the Giant game was on TV. Go Giants. Still, this isn't the first time and this isn't the last time we're going to see a 3-hour Raw, but gauge it from your side of the thing, because you are in the industry. How many more of these, if you were WWE, would you do? Are you possibly burning the audience out with, okay, cool, 2-hour Raw. Now, oh wait, 3-hour Raw. Okay, no, we're back to two. Shoot, now I got to get my DVR right.
Right, right. Well, you know, what's interesting was, I guess the ratings just came out and, you know, they didn't see a tremendous spike in ratings over doing this, right? So, you know, they seem to be holding pretty steady kind of right around that 3.0, 3.1 kind of rating. So it certainly didn't get any ratings. It seems certainly more of like, hey, we need to fill some airtime, and this will be entertaining, and okay, we'll do something a little bit different, I guess, because it's the holiday season. But it kind of goes back to the bigger issue of, okay, what's really wrong with what's happening in TV wrestling today? The problem is, honestly, in my opinion, is there's just too much fragmentation. And this is a perfect example is, you know, they had something that was somewhat of traditional. They had this kind of Slammies award, which people kind of look forward to, and it was fun, and it was cool. But then when you start intermixing it with matches and you just kind of throw it on a 3-hour Raw, it kind of diminishes it, right? And it kind of like kind of brings down the level of the importance of it. So the entire thing just turns into a joke at the end of the day. So it's just, it's, you know, there's the bigger issue of, hey, why do they keep tarnishing things that there might be some value in and what the people like to see? And, you know, especially if you're not going to get a big ratings boost out of it, or you're not going to tie it into something else like, you know, WrestleMania or the Hall of Fame Awards or just some other event, why just throw it into a Monday Night Raw?
And Sir Rockin' is Jason Hinn, and Sir Rockin' has posted for us, thanks to the folks at the Nielsen Media Research Group, the Monday Night Raw 3-hour did a 3.5 overall rating. The traditional 2 hours of the show earned a 3.21. The traditional rating was up from a 3.13 rating. That was last week's 2-hour show. So, yeah, it worked. Yeah, it didn't. As far as matches and setting up this pay-per-view, on Russell Talk Radio, or I joined the group because we had Spug and versus a Snowplow, which I definitely want to see on pay-per-view. Wow, that's an amazing number. Sir Rockin just posted for us. Monday Night Football had 11.927 million viewers, 7.7 in households, 4.5 in the market of 18 to 49, and thanks to the Nielsen folks again, that's actually down 8%, I guess, having Baltimore and Houston, despite being a good game, didn't do it for them. As we noted on Russell Talk Radio Sunday, that this show is go home, and at one point you were looking at the sheet. We looked at it last week to go over the pay-per-view and thinking, oh, yeah, we'll tease the pay-per-view. And I started going, okay, wait a minute, I only got three matches here. This pay-per-view is obviously stick figure based. If you see the commercials, which Mace and I have eloquently made fun of over and over and over, match of this setup of the evening, setups, a couple were set up. You saw Daniel Bryan versus Ted DiBiase again, this time in a tag match with Kofi Kingston, with Daniel Bryan and Dolph Ziggler. Which set up a triple threat match between Kofi, Dolph Ziggler, and the All-American American, Mr. Swagger, in, I believe that is a Jack Swagger Awards on a pulp. Nope, sorry, wrong sheet. That is a ladder match. Sorry, no awards hanging for that one. We did get the, what many fans seem to have wanted, which is bye-bye Juan Cena if you went to WWE house shows. And at the reluctance of his choosing, despite Nexus basically telling him, you don't hire Cena back, we're out of here. So this was brought up by Mace before we started. Do you want to go ahead and read that Twitter that John Cena posted? That's hysterical.
Yeah, just give me a second to scroll back up and get to it.
Yeah, it involved Mr. Juan.
WWE reports that last night at approximately 9 p.m. Eastern, it terminated its contract with the cousin of John Cena, Juan. WWE wishes Juan the best of luck in his future endeavors.
We'll miss him.
And yeah, and it's a shame I didn't get to see him. Maybe they could have been mask sales there too. Who knows?
And we must say at this point, welcome back, John Cena. It's like you never left. Oh, wait.
We also had the appearance of being that this was a inter-promotional Slammy Award-based show. We did have some inter-promotional matches, such as Dashing Cody Rhodes taking out Mark Henry. Yes, he's still on the roster. The Raw General Manager played a big-time role in this show. As we mentioned, he set up some stuff, including setting up Edge versus Jack Swagger, which I didn't understand because you're on from SmackDown, but you're on Raw. Okay, I guess he transcends, or she transcends, power. We did get to see The Miz take on Rey Mysterio, which was set up by the Raw General Manager, who said, well, each of you is going to take on a former world champion. So Randy Orton had his match later on. Really enjoyed Miz versus Rey Mysterio. Could have lived without Alberto Del Rio, but once again, got to forward their storyline along the way. We did get John Morrison and Sheamus, which never even happened, set up another pay-per-view bout. As Mace hinted, for some reason, instead of having the fans vote for a Diva of the Year, let's just stick them all in the ring, won by Michelle McCool. We did have Edge take on the All-American Jack Swagger and win. And Randy Orton defeated, yes, I can't believe I have to say it again, former world champion David Arquette. And a former resident of the Tampa judicial system, probably will be again soon, Alex Riley. And, of course, Superman himself, John Cena, made his return, defeating David Otunga, and got a chair shot of thousands in on that one. So here's what our pay-per-view looks like as of this moment. Stuff may be added to Friday Night SmackDown, which tapes tonight. You have Edge versus Kane in the TDLC match, Miz versus Randy Orton in a tables match, Alberto Del Rio versus Rey Mysterio in a chairs match. As mentioned, the triple threat ladder match for the IC title, Dolph Ziggler, Kofi Kingston, Jack Swagger, Barrett versus Cena in a chairs match, Sheamus versus John Morrison in a number one contender's ladder match. Now, that's number one contender to the world champion. So we'll possibly see Sheamus versus Miz, or Morrison versus Miz, or Morrison versus Orton, or Miz, or something along those lines. Another interesting one to come out of this is, I'm not sure, I think this may be a first time one. I don't know if Jason or Mace can correct me on it, that we're going to have a tag team ladies tables, divas, divas tables match, Lay Cool versus the Glamazon Beth Phoenix and Divas champion Natty Neidhart. Just reading those off, Jason, is there one in particular that you're thinking, yes, I must be sitting in front of a monitor when that goes on? And is there one that you're sitting there going, I wouldn't watch this on free TV, let alone pay-per-view?
Well, certainly I'm interested in the Divas match, and we covered this over on our sister site, divadirt.com. It is the first ever Divas tag team titles match. So that's interesting, you know. It just depends on what they let them do and what opportunities they have. If I'm watching the match and suddenly, you know, a leprechaun comes out and an eagle and Mickey Mouse, then I'll probably be let down and depressed. But I don't have my hopes that high.
To Mace, we have this discussion every month. Usually it's, for you, it's usually a match with some of the divas, depending on who it is, that you may go, all right, this is sandwich time, but don't you just want to stick around and go Lay Cool? Table, Lay Cool. Enjoy.
I definitely would like to see that. I'm still looking at it and going, okay, are they going to try and have Beth versus Natty at WrestleMania and start the turn now? Or do we actually have Lay Cool going through tables? Or is Natty going to front bump through the tables and bounce 40 feet in the air? I don't know.
Hey, now.
I gotta get my jokes in when I can.
He's not here to defend her, so you can take them all out.
Exactly. But actually, the one that I'm thinking I might go and make lunch during is Alberto Del Rio versus Rey Mysterio, simply because I don't watch enough SmackDown to care about their feud.
Well, is this a feud that was basically, we've addressed this before, and it kind of feels this way, at least on my end, I don't know about yours or Jason's end, but this feud was just pushed on fans so much, and has the interest kind of, I mean, is Del Rio over enough that he can, he seems to be good with Rey, he's had a couple matches outside of Rey, but is it raise the moneymaker, and what's he going to do afterward here? Is this a test soon to see? Is this it for Del Rio? Is this character only a mid-card? Can he get further?
I wouldn't have a clue, to be honest. All I know is that this feud's been going on for what feels like, you know, the better part of 6 months. And since then, since it started, nobody really cared. It seems that they're trying to shove Del Rio down our throats like they do when they want to push somebody. And, you know, I want to see what else this guy can do other than fight with Rey Mysterio.
Well, doesn't it feel like Del Rio and Mysterio is JBL and Eddie Guerrero? Kind of all over again. It's the same thing. I'm seeing guys come out in cars, and it's the same. He's playing the same character. I'm kind of the arrogant, you know, rich, you know, guy, and I'm going to kind of put down on this other guy, and it seems very redundant to me. Maybe it's just because I've seen it for so long, like Alan said, but just...
I would not compare that to Rey Mysterio versus JBL. The difference here is JBL was a heel that you wanted to strangle with barbed wire because you hated his guts and he did his job so well. Del Rio, you want to strangle him just to get him out of the company.
He's almost got that X-Pac heat going for him, and I know that's a phrase that I really don't like using after seeing Sean Waltman's Yushu DVD, but he's kind of got that vibe going for him where you said he's a combination of the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, and JBL, minus the cowboy hat, or Virgil. Or another person. I mean, he comes with his own Hispanic ring announcer. I would like to see this character go further. Let him be. I want him to be a face because with every other week, Rey is in the body shop getting something put in so he can become the Terminator. Train Del Rio just seems, he's very charismatic. He almost would fit as an ambassador to the Latin American community, because when you watch the old school Raw, he was embraced by Tito Santana, he was embraced on that show. I almost want that for the guy, but is it the direction that the company would want to go in? Because, I mean, they're always going in Mexico and filling arenas like crazy. It's, you know, they're in Canada, our closest markets. But he could go into Spain. He could go into Portugal. He could go to South America on a publicity tour, and people would gravitate toward this guy. Okay, neither one of you care. I like that.
I was leaving it for Jason.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a good point, but you know, I'm sure they have enough other people on the roster who can kind of fill that spot for kind of being that ambassador. But you know, even if he is playing a bad guy on SmackDown, that's not to say he's not showing up in some small town in Mexico and he's over like $1 million because they love to see him. So just because he's beating up on Rey Mysterio every Thursday or Friday night doesn't mean that, you know, he's not still showing up and doing the publicity you're talking about.
Yeah, we want to let fans know that if you do live in the Tampa Bay market, Extreme Rules pay-per-view will be May 1st, 2011 at the St. Pete Times Forum. If you were watching Monday Night Raw on Time Bright House Networks, you saw promos for it. Tickets for that event do go on sale this Saturday. As we mentioned, if you're a fan of WWE next week, it gets interesting for the company, obviously, due to next Friday night being the 24th in the United States. Who's going to watch on SmackDown? So here's what WWE is doing. They are going to do their traditional live Monday Night Raw, and then the Tuesday night that would normally be NCIS reruns or something on, or House or whatever on USA Network, they are going to be doing SmackDown live against us. Awesome. I'm very excited. WWE will also air the next night. They will re-air the Tribute to the Troops event, which takes place this coming Saturday night, or at least is aired this Saturday night from Fort Hood in Texas. And it's nice to see this, Jason, that they're actually allowing their talent to enjoy the holiday weekend. I mean, back in the 80s, at least in the territorial days, that was your bread and butter days. You made money big time on Thanksgiving and Christmas. The world-class territory had the Star Wars events at the Reunion Arena. Traditionally, Starcade was a Thanksgiving or Christmas event. So this is really refreshing to see.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I remember growing up in Salt Lake City, Utah, and every Christmas we would go see AWA at the Salt Palace. You know, it was a huge event back then to go out and see these things around the holidays. So, but of course, the travel schedules were a lot different than they are now. I mean, I wouldn't put it past them to say that, you know, they're working a much more difficult schedule than Greg Gagne was back in, you know, the mid-80s. So, you know, they deserve it off, and hopefully this is some sort of response to kind of all of the stress and all the other stuff that we've seen, kind of the bad negativity coming out of, you know, what's been happening around wrestlers in general. So hopefully they give more time off like this, because I think it's important.
On that note, we're going to go ahead and take our first time out here. We will come back afterward, and we talked about his cousin, so we're going to address John Cena, and some interesting stuff that came out along with his work with the Make-A-Wish Foundation, and we'll address the unfortunate demise again of Paul Bearer. So sad. Jason will be staying with us. Mace will be staying with us. We'll hopefully have the Spud Guy, depending on if he is able to defrost from his cocoon in Ohio. As always, this is Online World of Wrestling Radio. Tonight it is Southern Rock Night. Thanks for coming here and enjoying us. If you're in the Wild Talk Radio chat room, we'll be back after this commercial break.
On Sunday, January 30th, 2011, the entire wrestling industry will converge to Boston, Massachusetts, for the 2011 WRAs. It's the biggest public award show for the wrestling industry, and it only happens once a year. The voting booth is now open. Go to WrestlingRadioAwards.com to vote up to once per day for all of the coveted titles, such as Wrestler of the Year, Interview of the Year, Best Pro Wrestling Talk Show, Match of the Year, Hottest National Wrestling Babe, and many more categories. If you are in the wrestling industry and would like to participate in this year's festivities, either live or via Skype, for priority accommodations, please contact showdownnews@aol.com. We will see you on January 30th. For more information, please visit WrestlingRadioAwards.com.
Wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene, all this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a mouse click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Eric Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley,
plus the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling talents today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today,
Rob Van Dam,
Mr. Kennedy,
Christian Cage,
Brett Derry, Candice McDowell,
Christy Hemme,
Jay Lethal,
Yesterday,
Brett the Hitman Hart,
the Sergeant Slaughter,
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man,
Paul Hogan, the greatest of all time,
Jimmy Van the Boogie Wiggleman,
and tomorrow,
Peter Wilson, Natty Neidhart,
Harry Smith, Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site of the pro juice, Online World of Wrestling, www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hello, everyone. This is Matt Hardy, the owner and creator of www.thehardyshow.com. Make sure to check us out. And right now, you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Online World of Wrestling Radio here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And you heard an interesting commercial there for the Wrestling Radio Awards, which I believe is January 31st, which happens to be the same night as WWE's Royal Rumble 2011. And shock of shocks, I didn't believe it when Sorokin told me this program got nominated for three. Count them, three different awards were nominated for Female Interview of the Year with WSU champion Mercedes Martinez. Were nominated for Media Interview of the Year with the King of Old School, the King of Kings, and the bleeping God of Wrestling, Steve Corino.
And his mother.
And his mother, yes, we love Mrs. Corino. We're trying to get her back here again. We're up for Show of the Year, so definitely check out WrestlingRadioAwards.com. If you like what you hear each and every Tuesday night, go and vote for us. And our colleagues at Wild Talk Radio, Wrestle Talk Radio, got nominated for a couple awards. I know they're up for Show of the Year as well. And I believe, did Tim Stein get Host of the Year? Is this true, Sir Rockin? You can type yes or no, or you don't know in your computer there. Anyone? Oh, so I could have nominate my two-year-old as Host of the Year. That is awesome. I think Abby should be up for Host of the Year, and I want to thank everybody for making that possible here on the show. People like Mace and Spug, Kevin Scott of Poughkeepsie Journal, along with Phil Strum, and people like Jason Dedrich for being on the show, and I mean, Jim Barcelone is a regular contributor, and Spug, when we're trying to plow Spug out. I think he may actually be out plowing, so definitely go to WrestlingRadioAwards.com. You can vote once a day. As Mayor Daly once said, vote now, vote early, vote often. As mentioned, we talked about WWE's television product. Once again, William Moody, Percy Pringle III, also known as Paul Bearer, died tragically on WWE television. And as fans remember, this isn't the first time he's passed away. I believe it was the Great American Bash that unfortunately he got locked encased in carbonite and was turned into a figure. No, wait, that's Han Solo. I'm sorry. Thinking of Taco Talk Live, which is on this network Wednesdays at 9. But unfortunately, Paul Bearer was once again a prop used by the Rated R superstar Edge. So Mr. Bearer was written off TV. Edge tricked Kane into pushing the real Paul Bearer off an arena ledge. And judging by the noise of the thud, it's pretty safe that he's not coming back. Apparently, Paul Bearer is able to twit. I'm not allowed to. Kenny King says I'm not cool enough. What an abrupt end to an unexpected fun ride. Will I ever return? Never say never. Did he really even contribute anything at all, Mace, in your mind? Other than, okay, look at the urn. Poof, lid's off the urn. Evil spirits, lid back on. You could have stuck anybody in that position.
All I know is he's not a dummy.
Yeah, and for fans that are aware of it, yeah, thank you. He before this, our friend David Marquez had mentioned it when he was here, NWA Wrestling from Hollywood. Paul Bearer has been involved in that project as well, so go to NWAHollywood.com and you can check that kind of stuff out. Unfortunately, Jason, we're in an era where managers are very rare, which stinks because there are certain performers who could benefit from a manager. I'm not going to mention names because I don't want to hurt egos, but this is the same promotion in the 80s that had a cavalcade of legendary managers with Mr. Fuji and Classy Freddie Blassie, Bobby the Brain Heenan. At one point, Sensational Sherry was there as a manager. You had Miss Elizabeth. You had Slick. Now it's just, unless you get Hornswoggle.
Yeah, well, I think that's a great point. I mean, I'm curious what the fans want to see. I mean, you know, you guys follow this stuff religiously. You know what's going on, and hopefully we'll get some people calling in later on to talk about this. But, you know, when Paul Bearer returned, I thought, hey, you know, that's cool because we are starting to see maybe a possible return of, you know, that all-important manager. Because, like you said, there's a lot of people that need a manager. There's, you know, professional wrestling has always had a role for managers or valets, and they were always instrumental into the overall storyline. And for them just to be completely removed from the product, it's kind of sad. I kind of miss it. We honored Paul Bearer back in 2003 at Cauliflower Alley Club, and he's a great guy, and I'm so pleased to hear about the stuff that he's doing with my good friend Dave Marquez down in L.A., because, you know, talk about a tremendous talent. You know, I know you're saying anyone could kind of fill that role, but he's a talented guy. Being a manager is not that easy. I myself was a manager for quite a while. A little known secret, I actually managed Dalip Singh, who, you know, we all know is the great Kali now. When he was kind of making his way up the ranks out here in California, and it's a tough role to play.
Yeah, and I forgot, now that you mentioned Great Khali, I forgot about Ranjan, who was actually, if memory serves, I believe is one of the 65 different people that Stephanie McMahon Levesque controls as a writer on that product. So we'll be interested to see if anything comes out of Friday Night SmackDown in the next coming days to set up the TLC pay-per-view And it stinks. They're going to be on while we're on. I mean, we may change that. We may move the show to 10 o'clock Eastern just so we can avoid being a part of the landslide of SmackDown. And, hey, we could be the first show to actually talk about it. I feel like JT the Brick on Fox Sports. I can talk about it as it happens. If you're a fan of John Cena, and it seems to be, yes, some people are, some people aren't. You know, my feelings on him as a person, I'm very honored that he does such amazing charity work, which we're going to address here, so we're not going to bash Marky Mark at this time. But this is an amazing fact, and let me preach for a few seconds here. I'm not passing a collection plate around the room. We're not going to do that. John Cena actually has hit a milestone with the Make-A-Wish Foundation. He granted his 200th wish. It happened on the CBS program The Talk, which is their version of The View, but when you're married to the president of CBS, Les Moonves, you get to do what you want. Cena, as many people may or may not know, is one of the most requested celebrities from the Make-A-Wish Foundation, and most of his work isn't even publicized per his request. This wish was granted to a 9-year-old boy named Cheyenne in California, who was surprised on the program when Cheyenne was sitting with Sharon Osbourne. The 9-year-old was actually in attendance at last night's Monday Night Raw, was also presented with a ridiculously huge gift basket of WWE merchandise, and also was presented a authentic WWE Spinner Championship. Cena also donated 1 million Delta Frequent Flyer Miles to the Make-A-Wish Foundation charity. This is another amazing fact, that the only other individuals who have reached this 200-wish milestone, one of them is not going to surprise you, and that would be WWE Hall of Famer Hulk Hogan. The other two that may surprise you are actually NASCAR drivers Jeff Gordon and Dale Earnhardt Jr. John Cena's folks put this out, not the same folks that put out about Juan Cena. John is quoted as saying, "It's an honor to be recognized by the Make-A-Wish Foundation, but it isn't about me. It's about giving kids a chance to smile again and receive attention for something other than their medical condition. They just want to be treated like normal kids, and anytime I can help them enjoy their moment and feel hope, I'll be there." And that is nice and heartwarming around this time of the year, Mace, to see in an industry that sometimes it's, you know, it's all about me and me and, hey, what do you think of me, to see something like that.
Yeah, look, it's great to see any WWE guy going out there and using their position for charity, you know. Hell, you know, even us little people, we can do it as well. You know, if it inspires people to open their wallets and, you know, give away their frequent flyer points in the case of the John Cena promotion and everything, more power to them. You know, it's always good to see people helping people.
And he's not alone. And I'm not sure if a lot of fans know it, Jason and Mace, but if you're a member of the NFL, on Tuesdays you're scheduled off. But you're not really off, because that is designated in your contracts and whatnot as your charity day. And I live in Tampa Bay, so unfortunately I'm stuck with the Buccaneers. But over the years, Warwick Dunn has lived here. Soon-to-be Hall of Famer Derek Brooks has lived here. They've been involved with Habitat for Humanity. As a promoter, you would encourage your talent to do that. If you even, I know it's rough, guys. I know you've been on the road so much, but on your days off, go to a kids facility, a YMCA, a boys club. Go see some kids if you're in a, you know, whereas a Ronald McDonald House Hospital or Mattel Children's Hospital in California. Is this something you'd push for your talent?
Oh, sure, but, you know, the difference between what John Cena's doing and what you would probably see an independent wrestling promoter like myself doing is we would be there with as many cameras and video cameras and press as humanly possible, because, you know, the sad truth is certainly on the independent level, we need as much publicity as we can get. So if we're fortunate enough to have, you know, some of our talent say, hey, you know what, I'm happy to go visit a Boys and Girls Club or a high school. You know, certainly we would want to make sure that we get some sort of exposure out of it. What John Cena's doing, especially the fact that he's doing it anonymously and, you know, kind of staying out of the limelight is great. I mean, I'll tell you, I've worked with John Cena in 2001 at the very start of his career, back when he was known as the Prototype. And we'd work some shows together. And, like, way back then, you just knew this guy had what, in the business, we kind of refer to as the it factor. And, you know, he was destined for something great back then, and it's great that he's kind of evolved in that. I feel bad sometimes when I see all the John Cena hate, because I think it's kind of unwarranted growing up with, you know, the Hulk Hogan's of the world and seeing, you know, the way those guys were pushed to the moon and had a fraction of the technical abilities that a John Cena does. I think that John gets sometimes a bad rap or kind of a bum rap.
Yeah, well, I kid when I call him Marky Mark, but as I said, if you look at him, I've met him in person, I met him at an FCW event. You just kind of turn real fast and you want to go to him, feel it, feel the vibration. You do. As mentioned earlier, this Saturday is the annual WWE Tribute to the Troops event. I believe it's on 9 p.m. on NBC. First time, however, they're not going to Afghanistan, Iraq, Triblackistan or Durkistan. Sorry, I like kid around about that stuff, even though I have friends that are in the military and I wish them safety each and every day that they're out there. This event was pre-taped and will be at Fort Hood, which I believe, according to their promos on Monday Night Raw, is the largest military base that you can find anywhere. So it's pretty cool to see this. Even though we're spoiler-free on here, I will let you know that country star Trace Adkins is involved. We had Miss USA on a Monday Night Raw, the King of the Ring Monday Night Raw, actually. She will be involved there. Sorokin is letting us know that Cherry Shepard, who had a few segments with the unfortunately departed Montel Vontavious Porter from The View, will be involved. Sean Combs, Diddy, P. Diddy, Puff Daddy, Puff the Magic Dragon, whatever you want to call him this week. I always remember that line from the movie Notorious. What kind of grown-ass man calls himself Puffy? We are getting apparently maybe a one-time reuniting of the Generation X. We saw the Heartbreak Kid accept his Slammy Award last night, Mace, and he keeps hinting it and saying, you know, I'm done, I'm not coming back, but, you know, here we are, Tribute to the Troops. Is this just convenience because, hey, I live in Texas, you're filming in Texas? Hey, Mrs. Hickenbottom, can I go? Please? Pretty please? Is that almost what this feels like?
It could be, but then again, I don't know exactly what he's doing on Tribute to the Troops, so I'm not really going to judge a man before his actions are cast.
Oh, Shawn Michaels apparently said, yes, Facebookers, there may be a future with the WWE and yours truly. We've seen this before, Jason, with Nature Boy Ric Flair, who we'll be discussing later on when we discuss TNA wrestling. But we see it with a lot of these folks who the clock is ticked for the final time, and their body is just looking at him going, no, 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 you can't go, you can't go, but you want to go. What he hinted at it, if fans are multimedia, if you can find a copy of an old RF video shoot he did during his hiatus from WWE, he hinted during that video to Rob Feinstein that he was, and this is before any of this stuff ever happened nowadays, where he was thinking that I could be a WWE ambassador. I mean, they're going to need people in Washington at some point to lobby and whatnot. Does that work for you in your mind? I mean, he came back, obviously, a few times before he came back full time. And if you watch the Heartbreak, Triumphs and Heartbreaks DVD, I think that's the name of it. I'm sorry if I got it wrong. Where he had talked about his issues and now he's found religion and does the camps and whatnot. Would you like to see that? Just Sean do an appearance here, do an appearance there?
Or I would rather see him tuning up the band on the Senate floor. I think that'd be really entertaining. But, you know, honestly,
Pelosi, bam.
I mean, listen, what wrestler ever really quits or retires voluntarily? You know, I mean, when wrestlers leave the spotlight or leave the wrestling business, it's usually because they've been forced to. It's not because they're happy. You know, the guys that kind of have those open doors, the Ric Flairs and the Terry Funks and, you know, obviously the Shawn Michaels, they're going to be around. And even if they're not around in kind of the public eye where you're seeing them on a regular basis, they're going to be kind of taking the Ricky Steamboat and the Arn Anderson roles, kind of the agent roles, kind of behind the scenes. And, you know, the wrestling business is like that. It's very close. It's very tight-knit. And, you know, people don't really leave the wrestling business. You know, I encourage, you know, certainly any of the listeners that are not already a part of Cauliflower Alley Club to go check out CauliflowerAlleyClub.org, because this is exactly what we're talking about. It's, you know, it's the wrestling business usually doesn't, you know, doesn't get rid of you unless they really don't want you a part of it, because they keep letting people back and it keeps happening and happening.
Well, I mean, would if you were a talent in WWE, Mace, and they came in one day and said, so, yeah, Ricky Steamboat, we got him. Arn Anderson, we got him. Dean Malenko, here and there. Teddy Biasi, on and out. Dusty Rhodes. Like to present new producer, road agent, Shawn Michaels. Would that make the hair on your back go cool? Or would you have an adverse effect? I'm just putting it out there.
I'd be very hesitant. Yeah, Shawn was a great in-ring performer, but as to what he could contribute in the backstage area, whether it is being the agent for matches or something, I'd be very, very iffy about it.
And because he did have the school, the Texas Wrestling Academy, which brought you the unfortunately the late Lance Cade, Spanky, Leonardo Spanky, Brian Kendrick, whatever you want to call him, the Jedi Master on TNA Wrestling, and of course, Brian Danielson, Daniel Bryan came out of there. Could you see him? I mean, they've been hinting at this Tough Enough thing for a while, Jason, where you can go to, I think it's Wrestling Reality, and put your thing up there. Would that interest you if you're a fan of Tough Enough to see head trainer Shawn Michaels? Because you can't have Al Snow. He's a little busy right now in Orlando or Nashville.
Of course. No, without a doubt. I mean, funny story, Brian Danielson, or Daniel Bryan, he actually came through our training facility out here in California after he'd kind of gone through that Shawn Michaels environment with Spanky. And, you know, guys like Shawn Michaels, I don't think his talent stops in the ring. Because whatever he can pass on, whatever knowledge he's able to kind of pass on, whether it's, you know, backstage etiquette or psychology or all of the list of things that go on beyond, okay, how do I reverse this armbar? You know, that's kind of stuff that our young guys now need to learn from. And if it's done publicly on television, on MTV, I may not be thrilled about that, because that's not the way it's, you know, that's not the way traditionally, you know, wrestling business has been kept. But if that's the way it needs to do, it's better than the training a lot of these kids are getting, where, you know, they're not getting trained at all. They're just going to high spots, buying a ring, and saying, hey, let's put a show in our backyard. And next thing you know, some new promotion has started up because they made a website and they bought a wrestling ring. So if Shawn Michaels can help train these guys, more power to them.
And well, if they do a situation with this Tough Enough, and I know we're forecasting way ahead because you're dealing with NXT Season 4, from the female side of it, in previous seasons you had Tori, you had Ivory, you had Jacqueline on there. Of the current roster of folks, because you've seen a little bits of it on NXT, who would you pick to go in to be a part of this group that's on the current roster of this coming? I mean, it's thick and thin, because you do have someone like Gail Kim, who's got ring experience, Natty Neidhart, who could wrestle my 2-year-old and make it 100% safe. Is there a female presence on this roster that they could take off TV for a couple months and put in this training facility?
As a trainer?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I don't think so. I mean, you know, I think the world of the talents of a Gail Kim or a Natty Neidhart, but I don't think that they necessarily should be put in the spot of training people. I mean, you know, and that's just my personal opinion. I think that they're kind of at the height of their career where, you know, they're obviously still learning and they're performing and they're doing a great job at it. I think that's the weakness in WWE right now is, you know, beyond Fit Finlay, who is obviously instrumental in training a lot of the girls, who's kind of the general? Who's the ringleader for the females right now? I think that's kind of non-existent ever since Victoria or Tara left.
Your thoughts on that idea, Mace?
I'm good. Got nothing.
That's fine. We've got something coming up after this break here on Southern Rock Music Night, thanks to our special guest, the one and only Jim Cornette, will be joining us. As mentioned, it is a pre-taped interview, so don't dial numbers. Don't start asking questions in our chat room. We took questions that were from radio at onlineworldofwrestling.com and stuff that was messaged us on our Facebook page. So we're going to take a brief time out, get ourselves some hot chocolate, some tea, and warm up here on Online World of Wrestling Radio, brought to you by the Wild Talk Radio Network and the folks at clickwrestle.com. We'll be back.
I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too. And if you'd care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now you play pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul, because I think I'm better than you. The boy said, my name's Johnny, and it might be a sin, but I'll take your bet and you're going to regret, because I'm the best there's ever been. Johnny, rosin up your bow and play your fiddle hard, cause hell broke loose in Georgia and the devil deals at cards. And if you win, you get this shiny fiddle made of gold, but if you lose, the devil gets your soul.
Are you looking for a place to hang out with fellow pro wrestling fans? Then look no farther than the official forum of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com, OWW Genesis. It's the gold standard in wrestling forums. OWW Genesis is the home of over 50, that's right, 50 unique forums that range from current day wrestling news and results in WWE, TNA, ROH, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, tons of indie promotions, as well. There are forums for you to discuss everything from pro wrestling past, including WCCW, WCW, ECW, and the golden age of pro wrestling. You want more? Wow. Then check out OWW Undisputed. It's the official debate league. Or even check out OWW Takedown, which is the official e-fed of OWW Genesis. You still want more? Damn, you're a picky person. OWW Genesis is also the official forum for Chick Fight and Online World of Wrestling Radio. You want more? God, you are a super cool wrestling fan. Then just head over to the gold standard of wrestling forum, OWW Genesis, right now at OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com.
Hey everyone, this is Sir Rocket, the host of CB Radio, which you can catch every Saturday night.
Whoa, wait, Rock?
Yes, Cindy?
Did you just call yourself the host of CB Radio?
I kind of did just call me the host of CB Radio.
Honey, everyone knows that you are just the producer.
Hey, I'm not just the producer, I am the host of this.
Oh my god, shut up! Everyone knows that I am the host of CB Radio, which you can check out Saturday nights, midnight-ish, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Now, Rock.
Yes, darling.
This is where you tell everyone, I'll see you Saturday.
I'll see you Saturday.
Good boy.
This is Gene Simmons.
And this is Paul Stanley of KISS. Happy holiday season.
Hi, this is Ozzy Osbourne. Season's greetings and all the best for a safe and happy holiday season.
Hi, this is Pete Townsend. I want to wish you happy holidays.
Hello, this is Robert Plant wishing everybody a very happy holiday season.
Hey, this is Meatloaf, and I am just wishing every one of you a very, very Merry Christmas.
WildTalkRadio.com.
Do you have a business that you are looking to take online but have no idea what an HTML or a JPEG is? Do you currently have a website that is in need of an overhaul? Or do you have a website that needs updating but you don't have the time to do so? If the answer to any of these questions is yes, then you need to check out wtrproductions.tk, where you can get quality web design and management at an affordable rate. Looking to get the lowdown on all the services we offer? Then shoot us off an email by checking out our contact section so that we can help you get started building your online home. WTR Productions. High quality work. for an affordable rate. Built the way you want. Located at www.wtrproductions.tk.
Here's a quick message going to all the geeks out there. If you want to listen to three guys talk your language, tune in to Otaku Talk Live, Wednesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. What? You expect me to be funny? We do that on the show! So tune in! Listen! I demand it.
Hey, this is Charlie Haas, one half of the world's greatest tag team. And you're listening to me on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back to hour number two of All My World of Wrestling Radio. Hopefully you're warming up after being out in the freezing cold on this Tuesday night. Once again, thanks for not switching over to NXT. As much as we have friends on the show like Byron Saxton, we'd rather you stay here with us. Jason Dedrich is still with us. Spug is with us. And we're honored to have the man who survived Ring Roast number three, Sean Oliver, our friends, Kayfabe Commentaries, who will be on next week, warned us and said he was very reluctant to do the DVD, but thank goodness he wasn't reluctant to be a part of this. He is also one of the creative minds of Ring of Honor, who have Final Battle 2010 on iPay-Per-View this Saturday. He is Jim Cornette. Thank you so much for being with us, and welcome to the show.
Thank you guys for letting me be on the program. The only reason I was, and tell Sean Oliver, by the way, he has to follow me, so that's a bad plot. he should have done a set at my roast. I thought he was going to roast me, and he didn't. He didn't get up on camera and utter a peep, the big camera hog that he is normally. But the only reason I was reluctant to do ring roasts is because I said every time you have a ring roast, somebody, the police are called, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
And normally, I instigate enough of that. So you put the two together, I don't think you can pay me enough money for the legal fees. But when he assured me that police would not be called because, of course, my friends, they're all a legal, honorable, non-criminal bunch of people. They don't get together and cause, you know, turmoil. It's just me. So, you know, once he assured me that the police wouldn't be called, I agreed to do it.
Yeah, but did you have any idea at the beginning that Loverboy Dennis and Beautiful Bobby were going to take such offense to Bill Apter's Mama Cornette jokes? I
mean,
the cops called.
Well, actually, no, because everybody was in favor of Bill having that. He's had that comb over. If you look at the pictures from Inside Wrestling in 1971, Bill Apter had a comb over. So it's time that the comb over went. It was the 40th anniversary of the comb over, and when we ended it. We were just looking for an excuse.
Overall, what did you feel? Do you regret doing the ring roast, or did you think it was as fun as?
No, I think the people that attended regret going to the ring.
It was great.
I had a great evening, with a lot of great wrestling talent there, Dutch Mantel and the Midnight Express and Nick Densmore, my adopted nephew, and hardcore Bob Holly, and Missy Hyatt, and et cetera, et cetera. But it just also proves that I don't think it gave any competition to the Dean Martin ring roast or the Comedy Central roast, but it proves that getting a group of wrestlers together that haven't seen each other in a while, they can definitely tickle themselves. I think that's what people most enjoyed about it. We definitely had a lot of fun.
Yeah, we were fortunate enough, thanks to Sean, that we were able to watch both you shoots and one of our friends from Australia, Mace, who normally is on the show, was freaking out going, okay, great, I've watched both these things. How the heck am I going to come up with questions? I said, oh, don't worry, I got that covered. we put out to the fans to write radio at onlinewillowrestling.com, and we got a few questions that they submitted to two there, and we'll get to those in a second. But it looks like Spug says he's nudging me, going, "I have a question."
Hello,
about the roast.
Oh, Spug,
so go right
is
ahead,
nudging
Spug.
You. You know, yeah, have you Spug. Ever been nudged by a man named Spug?
Well, you know,
have
we
you
are
ever been in a Turkish prison?
No, unfortunately not. So, you just did the ring roast for kayfabe commentaries, and you have all of these accolades and tremendous fan following and respect from people within and without of the business for your work, and obviously the promos that you can cut because you have a razor sharp tongue. I will cite a quote right here that made me laugh. Sarah Palin will give Barack Obama a lap dance on the steps of the Capitol before I get behind Vince Russo.
Whoa.
Well, I think that probably already has happened before, you know, but regardless.
But you know, it's comments like that I think people can really get behind because you tell it like it is. And I wanted to ask you, coming off the ring roast and your a couple of years ago, your induction into the Hall of the NWA Hall of Fame. Are you worried about the legacy that you leave behind in wrestling? Is that in the forefront of your mind? And if so, what do you think that your legacy is in the eyes of other people?
I don't worry much about the legacy I leave wrestling because wrestling has already left. I mean, you can leave a good legacy in wrestling these days and you know, currently be in prison on drug charges. That's why I'm so cranky and that's why I'm so negative sometimes, because I just see the business going to hell in a handbasket, as Mama Cornette used to say. And so it's not like you could do a lot to harm the reputation of the wrestling business. That's what I'm most pissed off about. So I'm just, at this point, I'm just cranky with people and don't have a lot of patience, and that's why I don't work in corporate wrestling. And, basically, whenever something aggravates me, I talk about it.
Well, we hope you'll talk here because I have a couple questions. First one came from LaVon Novell in Nashville, Tennessee. Said, I grew up watching you in the Mid-South and in the NWA and was curious to know if you hadn't been a ringside photographer and then eventually worked in the Memphis territory, what would have been your chosen profession?
You know, I actually have no earthly idea. Because I started so early, that I never really seriously formulated an idea about doing anything else. From the time I was a photographer, when I was a teenager, I wanted to be involved in the business. I never actually, until I was asked, thought that it would be in front of the camera, but as far as ring announcing, photography, writing the programs, doing the publicity, doing magazine work, selling concessions, the whole nine yards, that's what I did. I had a lemonade stand when I was 8. Otherwise, I've never made any money since I was 14 years of age, really anything that wasn't related to professional wrestling.
Wow.
And actually, I took a cut in pay from the business I'd built up as a photographer and publishing the magazines and programs to start becoming a manager. So, you know, that's what I've done, and that's why I'm so incensed and offended when people just do things that just damage the business for everybody. Because there's a variety of ways that you used to be able to make money in it, and those are rapidly constricting because of people's dumb decisions about how to conduct the business on a national basis.
Mm. Got an email.
In my opinion.
Yep,
but, you know,
sorry.
I get that way.
No, nothing wrong with that. Got an email from Brad Green of Charlotte, North Carolina. Jim, I met Chris Champion at an event a few years back and told me a story that at Starrcade 87, it wasn't supposed to be the Rock and Roll Express versus the Midnight Express and the Skywalker match, but it was supposed to have been the New Breed, him and Sean Royal, and a car accident derailed that. Can you add anything to that? Do you know if that's true?
You know, I'm not going to poo-poo that story. because I would have to have my book, The Midnight Express and Jim Cornette 25th Anniversary Scrapbook, available at jimcornette.com.
Check it out.
I would have to have my book in front of me, which I don't, like a putz. The time frame, we started working with the new breed, Chris Champion and Sean Royal, 87. And then they had a car wreck. I don't remember whether it was the approximate time that it would have been Starrcade. Dusty may have said, oh, yeah, we're going to run you guys Starrcade. I don't remember it, but I won't poo-poo it.
Hmm. Yeah, Jason's been quiet, so let's get him involved.
Yeah, thank you. Jim, I just got a question to follow up on something you were kind of touching on earlier about the business being damaged. One of the organizations that Online World of Wrestling is part of and that I'm intimately familiar with is Cauliflower Rally Club, and we address this on a regular basis as we try and, you know,
Did we lose you, Jason?
You know,
hello?
I'm just real careful.
Come in, Berlin.
Yeah, did I lose you there?
Yeah, you lost us, bud.
Big time.
I was just following up on your question, on your comment about the business being damaged. And I was, you know, making reference to the fact that one of the things that Online World of Wrestling takes a big part in is Cauliflower Alley Club. And, you know, we try to address that fact on a regular basis. And I'm just curious, is it beyond the hope of any return? Is there any way to kind of save professional wrestling as a business? And if so, how?
Well, it's awfully hard to kill professional wrestling, as has been witnessed by the massive efforts that have been made to try over the past 10 years. But at the same time, the UFC is now the most successful pro wrestling promotion in the country.
Right.
So that you haven't really killed pro wrestling, you've just found a substitute. Why do you think Vince's buy rates are going down domestically and everywhere that UFC is available? TNA's buy rates would go down, but they don't have a buy rate enough to go down. It's because people want some kind of believable conflict and athleticism. You could always sell tickets to a fight or a conflict or a battle between two interesting personalities. The question is, what form does it take and what label does it take? Is it pro wrestling or is it now UFC? They have taken the pro wrestling business away from us. And we're not smart enough to alter our business in that direction to try to take some of it back, because they're doing our stuff. We'd just be stealing it back. But nobody's smart enough. Ring of Honor is the only promotion, to me, that's giving a credible athletic wrestling with believable conflict between guys that their personalities are now beginning to emerge over the last year or two as these guys grow up. So it's not just a bunch of bland wrestlers as the label was years ago, doing a lot of high spots. These guys hit hard. They're the best in the business at what they do, that are young and not under contract to the two big promotions. And I don't think an MMA or a UFC fan would be insulted by Ring of Honor's presentation. And coincidentally, a lot of the Ring of Honor fans also enjoy UFC. So, to me, while the big companies are either being rated PG to sell dolls or are just, written by people who write like they're on LSD, there's not going to be a big mainstream presence for professional wrestling in this country until somebody takes a different approach.
Very well said. I'm just curious, one of the things I want to follow up with on that was everyone speaks really highly of ROH. ROH has always been the thing that wrestling fans should be watching and want to be watching. But one of the things that's been happening, it seems like, with ROH is really pushing the female division. And one of our other properties, DivaDirt.com, there's been a lot of talk and a lot of hype over kind of what you guys are doing on the upcoming Final Battle event with Kong and Hayes. And I just want to kind of give you guys a little bit of props and some respect for, taking some females and putting them in an environment where they can really showcase their talents as opposed to what's being done, obviously, in TNA and WWE.
Well, yeah, because, see, there's someplace down the street from the Manhattan Center in New York where you can watch a lingerie pillow fight.
So you don't need to watch that on your wrestling pay-per-view? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, well, yeah, actually, you could watch it at Madison Square Garden. The WWE would present it, but I think there's plenty of places in New York that you can watch lingerie pillow fights. We're trying to promote, athletic women. Imagine that.
Well, I think it's great. part of what you're referring to with UFC is this concept of, you know, wrestling reinventing itself and trying to show something that's new and trying to show something that's fresh. And certainly that's something that's happening with the female division in ROH right now.
You're suggesting that all the girls get in the ring and be, you know, look like Moolah's girls from the 70s. With the old-fashioned, you know, bathing suits and you know, cellulite issues. No, these are athletic women that have looks and personalities, but actually get in the ring and wrestle, as opposed to, you know, lingerie models that Mr. Laurinaitis hires for the Stanford office, doing back bends and stuff from second-grade gymnastics to muddle through 4 minutes. It's just, it's embarrassing.
Got an email question regarding, you mentioned ROH, and we wanted to follow up with that from Jason Davis of Tampa, Florida. Says, I regularly attend Florida Championship Wrestling events, and one of your former ROH stars, Tyler Black, has signed with WWE Developmental on your You Shoot, the original DVD. You put him over very strongly. Were you surprised that he left ROH?
No, I wasn't, because here's the deal. Tyler Black was a guy who rightfully saw himself as one of the most talented young guys in the business. He had the height, he had the look, he had the body, he had the athletic ability. He'd spent 6-7 years learning the work and had had some tremendous matches and got a lot of attention. And they wanted to give him a deal. Now, a developmental deal, to me, it was a step down. I would have thought they would have brought a talent like that to the main roster, but he had enough faith in his ability that he said, if I get a developmental deal, I'll make my own break, and I'm going to go make $1 million. And so I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I hope that works out for him. I just, you know, I'm not a fan of their developmental system, but I am a fan of Tyler Black.
Which leads to a question I have, because I've watched him grow up in the business. Your thoughts on current ROH world champion, the messiah of the backbreaker, Roderick Strong. Is he a good representative for the ROH product? And are you interested to see him and Davey Richards finally get it on at Final Battle 2010?
Well, yeah, you know, first off, Roddy is probably the classic representative of what Ring of Honor stands for. He grew up here. He's been here since the start, 8 years. And in that time, he's become a Ring of Honor legend, because he really, he and a lot of other guys that came before the current roster perfected that style, that Ring of Honor style that's what sells these big money matches and these main events. He had never been the champion. I think it was overdue. I think inside the ring, I've seen him with Davey Richards, with Tyler Black, with Austin Aries. He tears the house down. So I think now he's just coming into some personality to be able to project to the fans exactly who he is, and maybe Truth Martini has had something to do with that, or maybe he hadn't. But I think that when he and Davey, who have exceptional chemistry with each other, it's sort of like Ali and Frazier, and they really, they're not going to be inviting each other over to their birthday parties either, personally outside the ring, so that really, it makes a great competitive atmosphere. These guys are going to have a tear down the house match in New York in front of a sellout crowd and a pay-per-view audience. And it's going to be hard to keep Davey off of that title, but if anybody can do it, Roderick Strong can, and Truth Martini is going to be at ringside, so I guess that's why they make horse races. We don't know what's going to happen.
I will have to disagree with one thing you said, Mr. Cornette.
Uh-oh.
Ali and Frazier were friends until Ali threw him under the bus.
Well, that's true. But actually, to this day, Joe Frazier never realizes that Ali was working to sell tickets to the fight.
This is true. That was one of Ali's great strong points. But I want to go back to something that you said a while back about UFC and it being the best pro wrestling promotion in the country right now. And I have been sidelined from MMA training because I had surgery over the summer, and I'm still not cleared by the doctor to go back to training yet. But I wanted to ask you to expound upon that just a little bit about what you meant, because I can't see UFC as pro wrestling, because one is fairly scripted and heavily heavily pushed upon by writers now, at least the major forms of it, and one is two guys in a cage standing up and banging the hell out of each other.
Well, but see, here's the thing. You've confused pro wrestling with sports entertainment. How old of a gentleman are you?
I'm 28. Let's put it this way.
Okay, well, wait a minute. I'm 49. So stop me when I veer off this description.
Okay.
let's say that we're in the fight business, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna buy us a fight promotion, and we're gonna call it UFC, right? Now we're gonna create a championship, and we're gonna find a crew of fighters. And we're going to make matches and put them on television with the idea of selling tickets to either the arena event or the pay-per-view by having these fighters fight each other with some semblance of structure so that the top guys that really get over and can pound the piss out of each other and that people really like seeing end up fighting each other in conflicts that we advertise and even manipulate in terms of, oh, this guy left this other guy's training camp years ago, let's talk about that. Oh, this guy went out with this guy's wife, let's talk about that. And then we put these fighters on television and tell them to talk about their fight and what they're going to do to their opponent. And then we sell those tickets, and then we have those fights. I have just described professional wrestling, just leaving out the manipulated part about the finishes, for the first 75 years of this century. That is pro wrestling. Where we've gone wrong is we've gotten so preposterous with our pro wrestling that somebody else came in and stole what pro wrestling was when we turned into sports entertainment. Am I wrong? They're not even there.
I believe he was serving that back to you, Spug.
No, I heard him. I had my microphone. It was my bad. I started talking and I went, oh crap, the red light's flashing.
I'm not in on this.
No, you did. And I wanted you to expound upon it because I kind of understood where you were going with when you made the comment, but I just wanted to be clear. And plus, I like getting an education and getting schooled.
well, but I mean, you know, and guys, let's throw it up for discussion. Really, the main backbone of pro wrestling is finding interesting and unique personalities that are athletic enough that they can take care of that part and promoting them in matchups that people will pay to see the resolution of and hyping the fight. And that is exactly what UFC does. They just went all the way back to the real part before the carnivals and et cetera, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, they're having a lot of success with pro wrestling tactics. It just, when pro wrestling got so preposterous and unbelievable and started not taking care of its business, it led to the demand for this. That's why all the guys who would have been pro wrestlers 10 years ago now want to be MMA fighters.
I have a follow-up to that real quick. Two questions. One, do you think that this abortion to sports entertainment that it has become started with WWE pulling back the curtain on kayfabe with the
I think he's going with the is there,
well, yeah, well, you know, I can kind of answer the semi question. Where it got started was once again guys not taking care of their own business and also the corporate influence. When the promoters were wrestlers or ex wrestlers or the bookers were wrestlers or ex performers of some type, the business was never healthier because they knew how to take care of their own areas, their own territories, their own clientele. When Vince tried to go national and did go national, that put a crimp in things. But it's also when the WCW, when Turner Broadcasting got involved, people who didn't understand the business got in positions of power. The hardcore phenomenon where the guys had to top their own stuff every week and kill themselves in the process. The internet to spread every little secret. WCW again getting so big and then imploding. There's all been a generation being lost in wrestling of what the guys did in the ring. And it all works together but it's still a conflict can be manipulated between individuals. So there's still a basis for a pro wrestling promotion. I think it's just gone too far to entertainment and needs to get a little bit farther back to sport.
Go ahead.
Real quick, I'm sorry. Do you think that the oversaturation of the pay-per-view market between TNA and WWE with 16 to 24 pay-per-views a year between the together combined has also been a problem? Would you like to see it pare it back to four or five, or maybe six?
Well, you got to remember TNA doesn't even matter on pay-per-view. I mean, our Ring of Honor's internet pay-per-views do 25 or 30% of the number of buys of TNA's television pay-per-views. They're not even in the game. But just the fact that Vince has continued to go down because he has the mainstream market, he has the eyeballs, they continue to go down because they're all the same. The talent is all the same. I don't make an emotional investment. I don't care who wins because it's all bland. It's homogenized, PG-rated. You can't sell fights where there's no violence in the fights. So they're sports entertainment fans, and they're going to support the product, mainly for free on television. Because why pay to see a fight you don't care who wins? It's just part of the story. But on once again, the UFC pay-per-views, the story is the fight. And, you know, all the comedy writers have made in wrestling, the fight is not the story. The story is the story. So people don't pay. With the UFC pay-per-view, the fight is the story. Who wins between Brock Lesnar and Zabadat? Therefore, they pay to see the story. They're paying to see the fight. It's a vicious circle.
Got an email question from Mike Shook of Seattle, Washington, wants to know, would you have liked to have been in control of WCW 1996 with the inflection of the New World Order and everything that followed, or would you have preferred to keep things the same and been on the WWF side of things?
Actually, if I'd have had my druthers, I would have preferred to stayed home and set them both out. I definitely wouldn't want to have been in the WCW with the influx of the NWO, because that was right when it was about to completely go under. Their 2 years of hotshotting were followed by bankruptcy. And the WWF was not that fun a place to be because I was there. So I think I would have all in all set both out.
Before we let Jason get one in, I wanted to ask, you had mentioned you were doing stuff with Ohio Valley Wrestling again. How did that come to be, and are you going to be doing ROH and OVW hand in hand? Could there be a working relationship coming there soon?
Well, geez, that's 16 questions. I started back with OVW because when I talked to Danny Davis this past summer about bringing a Ring of Honor show to Louisville and using the Davis Arena, you know, we got started talking again, and I've always enjoyed working with Danny. It's just we didn't enjoy the people we were in business with together. And, you know, he had a good group of guys here in OVW, but at the same time, they didn't have experience on the television side and matchmaking. So I was just trying to help with that. And that's graduated to, that's my Wednesday night activity now here at home, is I drive 12 miles over to the Davis Arena and do OVW television, and it's a lot of fun. As far as a relationship with Ring of Honor, we brought the Ring of Honor television tapings here just this past week for HDNet, and had great turnouts. And so, you know, we're going to try to keep that relationship. If they'd like to have TV down here a couple of times a year, we would love to have them. And also, it's a great place. The guys training here can also serve as talent on the cards in the Midwest, whether it be Dayton or Chicago or St. Louis or whatever, when Ring of Honor comes this way. So it's a good relationship, which the Ring of Honor also has the same with a couple of offices up in the Northeast now. So, we're looking at a lot of different talent, and I think that's part of the game plan.
You know, if I can jump in here real quick, one of the things I wanted to comment on was the statement of UFC being more pro wrestling than what you see on TV. I couldn't agree more. I'm just curious if your take on that is possibly because WWE is so much more than pro wrestling. Vince has said many times that he sees it as an entertainment product and hence getting involved in movies and everything else that they're involved in. But TNA, on the other hand, just mimics what WWE does without all of the extra, without all of the extra support and resources the WWE, kind of the WWE monster has. Is the problem the fact that TNA is trying to be WWE? WWE doesn't want to be wrestling, and there's no one else kind of for fans to watch on Monday nights or on Thursday nights?
Well, yes, all of the above. I guess the biggest problem TNA has is Dixie Carter thinks Vince Russo knows what he's talking about. So as a result, they do something with big stars that nobody cares about. The sports entertainment fans don't care about it, and the wrestling fans don't care about it. They have the same, you know, 1.3 to 1.5 million people on Thursday night in the country that watch the show, and 8 or 10,000 of them bother to buy the pay-per-view once a month, and, you know, very few come to the house shows because despite their great talent roster, their creative has stunk for so long under Vince Russo's vision that people have just quit caring one way or the other. Even Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair, Kurt Angle, Jeff Hardy, Rob Van Dam, Zabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-da cannot draw viewers somehow, and they don't understand what's wrong. What's the only change they haven't made? I mean, it's funny at this point.
Well, then let me ask. Obviously, they're not growing, but how long do you think they can sustain?
Well, as long as TNA gives them the rights fee for the television program they do for them and their ratings don't tank further like they did when they switched their time slot, and as long as Dixie's daddy likes Dixie, they're going to be around, but if they were going to go anywhere, what else are they going to do?
Hmm.
What have they not tried except changing the one guy? And apparently they're not going to do that, so what else are they going to do? They got Hulk Hogan. They're going to get Steve Austin? They're going to get The Rock? I don't think so. So it is what it is, and that's what it's going to be.
As we wrap up,
they just haven't figured that out yet.
As we wrap up with you, I was lucky to get a copy of Dutch Mantel's guest booker, which is also on kayfabecommentaries.com. And he brought up Sean Oliver brought up something that was also on a U shoot with Miss Carter, where she brought up the whole, if there's another Fire Russo chant in my building, I'm going to come back to the writer's room and take you guys out. And Dutch basically said his response to that was bull, and then you can add what you want
bull
there.
Bull poopy.
Exactamundo. And as someone who covered TNA wrestling in person from 2002 to 2007, it's mind-boggling to even look back to 7 and see the roster that you had there. And we debated on the show all the time about who should be where and who shouldn't be there. If you had stayed around, this question alone could you probably give an hour answer to, but the current situation of this immortal product influxed with this fortune thing, and you have guys like Desmond Wolfe who could wrestle my hockey stick and make it look good, Samoa Joe who could make my two-year-old look like a superstar, and you have these guys who can go, but you had Rob Van Dam sitting there going, I'm the champ, but I only want to work with people that were on TV during the Monday night thing. Is that Russo? Is that Jeff just letting things get out of control? Or would this kind of stuff be going on if you and Dutch were still involved in creative in some form?
Oh yeah. The exact same thing as when I was there would still be happening unless somebody else was in charge and Russo was gone. And I don't mean to knock Jeff, but, you know, at this point, I don't know what he was agreeing with, what he wasn't. I don't know why he had the guy on the premises. I would have got a restraining order against the guy if I owned a wrestling company. But the only way it could have been different now is if they had just decided in 2007, right after they got Kurt Angle, okay, now we're going to concentrate, as Paul Heyman said, everybody who's over 40, I'll chop their head off. I would have just been nice and said, no, we're going to finish you up or not re-sign you, or, you know, can you help get this guy over before you're done? Because we make our own stars with a serious competitive product with some entertainment based on the personalities, and invest some time in new stars and in a certain style that you want to educate your fans to. And in 2 years, you would have had something. But no. The wrong talent decisions of who to bring in, who to keep, the style to have, the creative, every decision was wrong. The only thing that I would have done the same the whole time that I worked for TNA, if I'd had control over Vince Russo, was the commercial breaks. Everything would have been completely different, whether I had anything to do with it or not. Any idea I had, I wouldn't even have had, because those people wouldn't have been in that particular situation to begin with.
Yeah, I can't think of one thing.
Just so you know, I can't think of one single thing that I saw on TNA television in 2 years that actually would have been there if I had had Russo's pencil. Mm. Oh yeah, Kurt Angle versus Samoa Joe would have had that match, but maybe the stuff that happened on TV would have been way different, and the way it would have been sold would have been different. Mm. We were diametrically opposed in every idea we had. It would have been a different universe with the same wrestling talent.
Yeah, before Spug jumps in, I wanted to follow up with one also from that DVD that made me intrigued, especially once we had you on the show. Dutch told story that both him and Jeff basically played peacekeeper, so to speak, that he kind of handled with you. Dutch stayed with you, and Jeff kind of handled Vince. Was that something that you were fine with, or was there any point that you just said, you know what, the heck with this? I'm going to have to work with this guy whether I like it or not. He's an annoying New Yorker that is just ruining everything, but maybe if I get to him, I can fix this thing?
For the first 4 months when Jeff wouldn't let me quit, I just said, okay, well, I'm not going to acknowledge this guy's presence or existence, that he's breathing my air. So basically, we walked past each other. We didn't look at each other. We didn't talk to each other. And if I needed to know something, Dutch told me. and vice versa. And then because my original theory was, somebody this incompetent cannot last long enough to where this will become a problem. Then after about 4 to 6 months, when I said they haven't figured this out yet, I got hot and I said, fine, I'll say hello to him if I have to pass by him. But now I'm mad at Jeff and the rest of these idiots because they're killing their own product. I'm going to make the same amount of money. So then I waited another 6 or 8 months. Now I'm just incredulous that this guy still has a job in a wrestling promotion. And then it was a grudge. I was like, okay, I'm going to cash my check because if they're stupid enough to give this money out and have no return on it, I'm going to take some of it. And then it was about another year and a half that I just hated the thought of going there, loved coming home and cashed the check as a grudge, sort of like a bad marriage where you really know it's not going to get any better, but you just don't want to end it. but, you know, basically by the time that they told me, we had already figured out they fired Dutch, sent Jeff home. He has pictures of Dixie with a goat, apparently.
Ooh.
I have no idea. You know, they've changed everyone. They've done everything except, you know, cut the tumor out. And she loves him. So she spent $50 million of her daddy's money because this guy doesn't know what he's doing.
Real quick, I wanted to. You work with so much young talent in ROH and OVW. If there is one piece of wisdom from the business that you can impart on one of these young talent before they leave you to go on to wherever they may go, what is it that you would say to them, or that piece of wisdom that you could impart on them from all your years and experience in the business?
Oh, Christ. Don't go. you know, once again, don't let it screw up your real life. Do the best you can, and don't go into a depression if it doesn't work out, and don't spend all your money if it does. Because sooner or later, you're done. It's more sooner than later these days in this business. And, you know, it's like rock and roll. For every band playing in a garage, you know, that wants to be a superstar, most of them don't make it. And, you know, too many guys take that too hard. So that's, at this point, that's probably the biggest thing.
We want to thank you so much for being here. Friday night, Plymouth Memorial Hall, 83 Court Street. You can come out and see Ring of Honor. And then, as Mr. Cornette said, this Saturday night, $14.99 is the price at GoFightLive.tv for ROH Final Battle 2010. You can go to KayfabeCommentaries.com to not only purchase Ring Rose 3, you can get You Shoots 1 and 2, and when we had him on, Sean mentioned something about you're going to be in the timeline history of WWE for 1997.
Timeline 97, to be released imminently.
It's a fascinating
piece of memorabilia, if I do say so myself.
Right.
And don't forget JimCornette.com for my rookie year videos, the Midnight Express Lost Classics, the Midnight Express Scrapbook, and great classic wrestling memorabilia, including magazines, programs, autographs, and more. JimCornette.com, the place to be.
Excellent. We're going to let Leonard Skinner take us out here with Jimmy Three Steps and All I Want With Wrestling Radio. We'll be back with more after this commercial break.
This is Mace, the overworked co-host of Wrestle Talk Radio, OWW Radio, Otaku Talk Live, the offside producer, Cindy's cleaning boy, building janitor, advertising guru, Spug's bong holder, drink runner, Omega's transformer record keeper, and bashing the books, all here on WildTalkRadio.com. If you decide to listen to a show that features a bit of the old-fashioned ultra-violence, people getting their heads kicked in, bones broken, and bloody crazy fights, then come on over and listen to Tap Outs to Knockouts live in the archive section of WildTalkRadio.com.
Mace, it's not all about the bloody stuff and the ultra-violence. Hey, this is Spud from Tap Outs to Knockouts. And if you want to hear the news, results, and technical side of MMA, then check us out on WildTalkRadio.com in the archive section. And oh yeah, we do have the bloody stuff.
And now I know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey! What are you guys doing in here? Get back to sweeping.
The definitive professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene. All this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a mouse click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley.
Plus, the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling columns today. And the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christian Cage.
Brett
Derry.
Candice LeSalle.
Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Brett the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
Paul Hogan, the greatest of all time.
Jimmy Van the Boogie Wickerman.
And tomorrow.
Peter Wilson. Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith. Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site the pros use. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
This is the Ultimate Warrior! I am taking time from my job delivering pizza for Papa John's to tell all the little mortal warriors out there to tune into this radio program from the 7th Moon of Raxor in the Gaxan Galaxy called Wrestle Talk Radio! The show is on during the apex of the sun and the dark side of Saturn, otherwise known to the masses as Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Time Zones. Or when the WWE or TNA pay-per-viewerships finish and the Warrior stands supreme over the fallen victims of X-Lax. So go, puny masses, and listen to the show, because the power of the Warrior commands you to do it. Now the Warrior needs to go and deliver this meat lover's pizza to the mortals that ordered it.
Yo, I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? Huh? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sakes. And you know what you're listening to? You're listening to Wild Talk. That's why they're trying to cage me.
Welcome back to All My World of Wrestling Radio, brought to you by the Wild Talk Radio Network. A way, if you wish to contact us, is 267-297-1397. If you have a question or comment regarding WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, Dragon Gate USA, Evolve, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, and any other initials you want to throw together, we'll do our best to try to answer that. Jason is very knowledgeable in the art of women's wrestling, both as a promoter and our sister site, DivaDirt.com. Remember to put a dash in between the Diva and the Dirt, because if you put Diva Dirt all together, you may end up at a kid's site or a site you don't want your kids visiting. Mace has rejoined us here, the jack of all trades, as we said, or the Aussie of all trades, if you want to get into that setup. Thank you so much to the legend of Jim Cornette for stopping by. Don't forget jimcornette.com. Definitely pick up the 25th anniversary edition of the Midnight Express scrapbook. And believe it or not, he will be back with the Kayfabe commentaries, folks, in the coming months. He is going to be a part of their Timeline series, and he has been chosen to handle the very controversial year of 1997. So we will address that in the coming weeks. We're trying to get Kayfabe Commentaries guru Sean Oliver back with us. He is a favorite of the roster, and hopefully this time when we have him on the call, we'll actually have people besides me sitting there with Sean. We want to get into the news of TNA Wrestling, and if they had had a pay-per-view this weekend, we would have opened with it. And before we get to Impact, before we get to the stuff that's already announced for Genesis, we want to touch on something that came up involving the current champion, Jeffrey Nero Hardy, as Mr. Anderson likes to refer to him as. As many people noted, he had his court date once again. Guess what? Court date moved back again. Now we're to January 20th, 2011. But something came up when we were watching the pay-per-view for the WrestleTalk Radio crew. They do a post-show pay-per-view wrap, and they'll be doing one this Sunday at 11 p.m. Eastern to come back to the station at that time. Jeff was almost pulled from the Final Resolution pay-per-view match that he had with Matt Morgan. And apparently this came out thanks to Bill Behrens and Shannon Moore, who are involved in a weekly podcast that they do. I believe it's on Who's Slamming Who. I may be wrong on that. I apologize to Mr. Behrens and Shannon Moore. Behrens, who doesn't coordinate independent bookings for several TNA stars, noted that apparently TNA company officials in the past allowed Mr. Hardy to wrestle, quote-unquote, while impaired. During his podcast, Mr. Behrens also addressed Jeff Hardy's vicious chair shot to the back of Ken Anderson in October, which resulted in a
a legitimate concussion and a wound for Mr. Anderson, and noted that Anderson is in a great position to apparently sue the organization since he could claim Hardy was unable to compete when he issued the negligent chair shot. Burns is saying it's quote-unquote an open secret within the company that Hardy is still using pharmaceuticals and drugs, and thus they wouldn't have a chance in court. It is also noted that Hardy is coherent backstage at TNA live events, slurs his words, and keeps to himself at all times. To Jason, since you are on the promoting end with Chick Fight with APW, initial reaction to this, does this scare you that your current world champion is backstage talking like the Timothy Leary and talking to trees maybe, and you know, these Chris Angel like promos that he does? I mean, does this scare you at all?
Yeah, it scares me to death. And you know, if the level of talent you're dealing with is drawing, you know, massive, incredible numbers, then you give him a little bit more leeway. But, you know, I don't know if, you know, if Hardy's drawing the type of numbers that allow him to get away with what he's doing. Certainly there's the risk of, you know, not only is he, what he, is he putting the rest of the roster in some sort of jeopardy, or, you know, is he being unsafe? Is he not doing the right thing or doing what he's supposed to be doing? But also that really hurts morale. I mean, that's the kind of the unknown issues that come up where, you know, there's other guys on that roster that are really busting their butts. And when they see this guy kind of like, you know, jerking off or being, you know, being incoherent and clearly not, you know, being on the ball, but then getting some massive push, what does it say to the rest of the roster? You know, and TNA's not in a place where they've got like such a solid, great morale that they could really lose people at this point, or at least, you know, have people lose support internally.
And as we've mentioned on the show before, I'll take the chance to mention it again, Mace being in Australia, he is a trained wrestler, trained referee. If you were sitting in the locker room and Jeff Hardy is on your roster, you are part of the TNA roster, congratulations. Does this freak you out at all? I mean, there's rumors that there's been a pot click there. There's been rumors of other pharmaceuticals going around, but your world champ is the one that's doing all this. This harkens kind of back to the Shawn Michaels of the late 90s. Does this bother you, especially if you're Dixie Carter?
Well, to go back on your initial sort of hypothetical situation, if I was part of the TNA roster, besides going, yay, I'm on TV, I'd be very iffy about it, but at the same time, I wouldn't open my mouth, because once you're backstage at something like that, especially if you're not one of the big guys or you don't have any stroke in the backstage area, you're pretty much just going to sit back, let everybody else do what the fuck they want, as long as it's not coming at you. Personally, if I see that type of stuff going on an indie show, I turn my back to it, but if somebody tries and pushes at me, I'm like, get away from me before I put my boot in your face.
I mean, me personally, it kind of does bother me a little bit. As I said, he's got a pending court date. He's got a laundry list of stuff that he was involved in. I mean, the roster speaks for, the police report, sorry, speaks for itself. Apparently 400 pills were found, anabolic steroids, drug paraphernalia. He's been charged with multiple counts, including conspiracy to traffic in opium, felony possession of controlled substances, attempt to distribute. So the Morin County Superior Court and the legal folks could be looking into this, Jason. How liable is TNA? What Barron's is saying, he said, as a promoter, you have to deal with insurance and licensing, promoter fees, this, that, and the other thing. But on a scale of TNA wrestling, does he have a case?
If that actually did end up, you know, going to trial, or if some sort of case came out of it, it would be really groundbreaking. It'd be interesting to see, you know, where things fall. Because keep in mind that there's still this underlying issue of all these wrestlers are independent contractors. So even though technically they don't fall under the correct guideline of being an independent contractor, that's the agreement that they have in place. So, you know, TNA certainly would come back and say, hey, you know, he's not even an employee. He's an independent contractor. He's responsible for his own actions. So they would certainly play it off, and they would do everything to get out of that situation. But, you know, maybe that's what the business needs is, you know, just one ugly lawsuit to come about where, you know, TNA gets on the hook for it just because they didn't watch out for the rest of their roster.
And this almost reeks of pay-per-view, Jeff Hardy versus Ken Anderson with Judge Judy, or you know, get Judge Wapner back out of retirement, or Judge Ito, you can bring him back from the grave. I mean, wouldn't you buy that pay-per-view, Mace, if Russo booked it right and Jared got involved and that kind of, I mean, it would be epic. Notice the sarcasm in my voice, please, I hope.
Yeah, I was taking a minute to sort of work out, okay, how much is that sarcasm and how much is that Alan being completely stupid and off his head? Maybe you've been getting into a little bit of the Jeff Hardy stash for a second there.
Hey, straight edge all the way, baby. I'm like Phil Brooks, I'm straight.
Uh-huh. Sure, everybody says that they're straight edge, but I'm sure... You know, people drink coffee, believe it or not, that's called a drug, people. Caffeine is considered a drug, even though it is a legal one. What was the question again?
Did you buy a pay-per-view of Anderson versus Hardy in court? I mean, could you see that? It just reeks Russo.
Yeah, but at the same time, it reeks the same type of writing that had Shawn Michaels and Triple H going to Little People's Court underneath the ring. But the only problem,
like, your name's not Chris Masters, you can't be here, you lied on her oath.
The only problem with like an Anderson versus Hardy in a courtroom battle of sorts would be it keeps getting pushed back every couple of months when it comes up, so we'd never get to see it.
Well, hopefully if you live in the overseas market and you're listening to our podcast through Click Wrestle or iTunes, thanks for doing it. If you happen to be in Tokyo on January 4th, you're going to see Jeff Hardy if he retains the championship at live events before we get to Genesis 2011. Three matches are announced for the Wrestle Kingdom event at Tokyo Dome. This is the third year in a row that TNA Superstars have been involved in this program. Hardy is supposed to defend against Tetsuya Naito. I apologize to the Japanese fans for killing that name. Rob Van Dam will take on Toru Yano. And Beer Money will be taking on Manabu Nakanishi and Strongman and Carl Anderson. And Giant Bernard, who fans may remember as Albert from WWE fame, for the IWGP Tag Team titles. And those events are available through TNAWrestling.com. The last couple years they've done it. So interesting there, because I mean, I've never traveled internationally. I don't know if Jason has or Mace has, but if you've got legal issues, wouldn't Moore County be saying to him, no, you give us passport, you know, you're famous, we don't want you going elsewhere, or is this, does TNA put up a bond and say, no, we'll keep him in line, he won't be going to Roppongi or anywhere else?
Isn't this one of those situations where, because there has been no actual court case, or the date keeps getting pushed back, there's no reason for him to surrender his passport at this stage?
I don't know, I always see that in the movies. They always say, don't leave the city.
Yeah, but that's the movies, Alan. They're not always true.
Well, he's Jeff Hardy, man. He can
come back to reality, Alan. Come on, come back to us.
Well, as we
Alan, did you say that was Strongman John Anderson on the card?
Carl Anderson.
Carl Anderson, okay.
Yeah, one of the, I believe he was one of the NWA World Tag Team Champions up till recently.
And he's going by Strongman? Is that what you said?
No, I mentioned a couple other names in there with it as well. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Let's move forward into what is known as TNA Impact. And we talked about this on Wrestle Talk Radio, and we mentioned it briefly last week because of the amazing thing that happened, and that was for the second time in Impact history, you had the women in a main event. The other previous time was Gail Kim taking on the former awesome, now amazing or stupendous. Stupendous Kong sounds pretty good. I could see that on a t-shirt. We witnessed Mickie James take on Tara, and unfortunately witnessed Tara do severe ligament damage to her elbow after she was tossed into the steel cage. Amazingly, she continued the match and was pinned after a top of the cage Thez press by Mickie James. Mace and I and Sir Rock and our producer watched this match a couple times just to kind of go Zapruder moment going, is it there? Is it there? We've taken a look at the footage, and hopefully you have as well, and we've come to the belief that on one of the moves into the steel cage, her elbow just impacted in the wrong way, didn't protect herself. So we wish that she has a speedy recovery. If you read the spoilers that are on the OWW Genesis forum and other sites, you know that she has been involved in the other events that were taped last week. I think there's taping right now, for all we know. But overall thoughts on this match, Maze, to see the ladies, the Knockouts, featured this way, and in coming weeks, we'll address in a moment the Knockouts tag situation, but this was one of their better Impact main events, man or women match.
Yeah, well, it's always good to see when a decent cage match is put on television. But personally, as somebody who has been a big fan of women's wrestling for many years, it's good to see the women get the main event spot for once instead of, you know, whatever thing they're doing with Immortal or Jeff Hardy or some attack or something. To actually have, especially women of the caliber of Tara and Mickie James, come in there and put on a very good match to the point where it looked like by the end of it, both of them were injured. Not only Tara with her elbow, but it looked like Mickie blew a knee or something on the Thez press from the top of the cage, which looked massively impressive. But yeah, good to see him up the game for women's wrestling.
And before we go to Jason, we'll also let you know that due to quote-unquote passport issues, Hamada has vacated the Knockouts Championship English translation. We don't want to fly her in anymore. We don't have anything else for her, so you're fired, which also leaves Taylor Wilde hanging in the breeze. So the next few weeks, you will see a Knockouts Tag Team Tournament. Jason, overall thoughts on that match? And the idea of them, instead of losing the championships in the ring like they should, TNA seems to have this habit of, well, we got briefcases lying around, let's put it in there, or let's have a phantom passport issue. Does this bother you?
Oh, of course. You know, one of the things I want to touch on, though, was that cage match, because I do think that the cage match, you know, should get all the credit in the world. I became a Mickie James fan in that match. They both had unbelievable fire, and it's unfortunate that, you know, Tara came out with an injury, but like you said, it's great to see that it doesn't seem to be too serious. The one thing that I think was devastatingly horrible about that match, which, you know, coming from kind of just a promoter perspective and, you know, just kind of the way I think, was it was really sad that they only gave that match about an hour of lead-in time. You know, midway through the show, they announced, okay, well, we're going to have the match, and we're going to have it right here. And yes, the 1,000 fans in the audience went crazy. They went, yeah, we're going to see it tonight. But had they announced that match a week before, then they certainly would have seen an increase in ratings, because people would have tuned in to watch it. Instead, it's one of those things where, okay, well, if they happen to be watching it, then people may hang around. But I think they could have gotten a better boost in the ratings game had they announced it in advance instead of just 1 hour, you know, prior to the match. So that I thought was kind of, you know, it's kind of bittersweet, because if the ratings don't jump, they're going to blame it on the girls, and they're going to say, oh, well, you know, the girls just didn't produce, or fans don't want to see Knockouts, which I don't think is the case at all. As we've seen back when Gail Kim and Kong were having kind of at the height of their feud, they were outdrawing the men. You know, every week in and week out, the Knockouts were outdrawing the men for their particular segments.
Mm. Yeah, but the problem with that was that they had the pay-per-view the week before, so it would have distracted from Mickie James's match with... Oh,
yeah. It was Angelina. Was it with? I think
it was a false count anywhere match.
Yeah, they've
with Tara.
Another roller coaster. There was another match with Tara. I thought that. Yeah. Hold on, that didn't make any sense.
Yeah, and they ended up in the men's room, and you know.
Yeah. See, TNA booking confuses us in the easiest ways.
Yeah, now before
same match, different stipulation a week beforehand. Yeah. What the hell's going on?
Before we go anywhere else, I want to let you know the TNA's rating drew a 1.1, which is rounded up from a 1.08. The rating was up from last week's 1.01, and this is the highest impact drawn since November 11th. Now, don't forget that the rating was down significantly because the show aired, their November 25th show aired here in the United States on that little holiday called Thanksgiving. So it's fun to read the tea leaves sometimes, but it isn't because, as Jim Cornette outlined, it's TNA and they have their own issues. Speaking of knockouts, as mentioned, there is a knockout tourney going on over the next several weeks. If you've read the spoilers, boy, you thought you were confused now. Wait till you see what's coming in the next couple of weeks. The beautiful people have advanced, taking out Sarita and Daphne. We're very happy to see her back on TV after Betsy Ruth, the unfortunate Rosie Lottolove, nearly killed her at an Impact taping. Winter was once again involved, wishing Angelina good luck. And I said, read spoilers on OW Genesis or other sites. And by the end of it, you'll be scratching your head going, huh? You'll be sounding like the Minions and Despicable Me going, what? We did get to witness Ink taking on Brother Ray and a Team 3D student, which is their facility in Kissimmee, playing D-Von. We've outlined this before, but we haven't gotten the opinion of Jason on it. This idea of Team 3D is a feud once again. In your mind, good, bad, and different?
Oh, I mean, we've seen Team 3D over the years in just about every possible situation, right? So I think they just keep trying to reinvent something. I don't know. I mean, are people tired of seeing Bubba and D-Von yet? I don't know. Personally, I've seen about enough of them over the past 10 years on my TV. I'd be happier to see them give the spotlight to some of the younger guys, but... Yeah, obviously they're politically tied in with TNA because of what they have with their training school and a lot of talents coming through there. So, you know, we're probably going to see more of them.
We did get to witness the Motor City Machine Guns taking on Gunnar and Murphy. They won by a DQ after B-Money wanted injuries. For fans that aren't aware of it, Gunnar happens to be NWA National Champion Phil Shatter. So if you've been watching NWA Wrestling from Hollywood and you're going, I know that guy. Why do I know that guy? That's why you know that guy. Looks like we're going to get that as a pay-per-view match, the Guns versus Beer Money at Genesis. Should be very interesting to see after they've had their feud, the best of five that they experienced, which was probably a match of the year, feud of the year for a while there. We may not do a best of show. I'm kind of against the idea since everybody else does them. But it's nice to see, Bobby Roode and James Storm on the headsets. I don't know how either or one of you feel, but I've always been a fan of James Storm on the mics and wish it would happen more. Mace wants the beer scooter. We're still working on getting that for you, possibly for Christmas.
Yay!
The beer scooter and the pothead world champ. Sounds perfect.
Oh,
yeah,
absolutely.
But at least the Boozer Cruiser is like, something that's decent and not really going to make your company look completely stupid.
Hey, you were just saying that coffee is a drug, so I think beer and alcohol falls into that category as well.
Oh, most definitely. I'm not going to deny that one. Not at all.
Let me ask a quick question about the Gunner-Phil issue. There was a big fallout between TNA and NWA a while back. Is it reading too much into things, thinking that now that Phil is involved with TNA, that maybe there may be some sort of connection between TNA and NWA again?
I think it's called he lives in Florida and works for a decent rate. I don't know. I've tried to get answers to that. We may ask. We've been working on having David Marquez on again in 2011, and we may ask that of him. We may shoot an email his way. We did witness the return, sort of the Pope D'Angelo De Niro. The casket was brought out with a beautiful gospel choir. The Pope basically said that he was reborn and has said, read spoilers, and once again, you will have your Despicable Me
what
moments. We did get some very nice footage of a trip to the United Arab Emirates, which apparently TNA, I believe, is doing a tour that's going to take them through England, France, Germany, over the January time. So as soon as they come back from Japan for the pay-per-view, good news, you're leaving the country. So definitely check that stuff out. We're going to get this apparently this Thursday on Impact. Generation Me taking on Orlando Jordan and Eric Young. I'm very happy to see Eric back with TNA because there were some thoughts that he was going to leave, not going to leave. We did get to see the first title defense of World Television Champion Douglas Williams taking on the Monster Abyss, who was subsequently involved with an attack by AJ Styles. To Mace, we've discussed the character drive of creatively of Douglas Williams. Do we like the idea of World Television Champion Douglas Williams? He didn't seem to fit that X Division mold as we've outlined before, but there's nothing really attached to this world title other than, well, it was the global belt, AJ likes Flair, Flair was TV champ, cool, TV title.
Well, at least with the TV title around his waist, he can go up against guys like AJ, who can adapt themselves to his style as opposed to him trying to keep up with guys like Kazarian and Jay Lethal in the X Division that made him look absolutely terrible as a wrestler. Like, his matches with AJ have been phenomenal compared to what he was doing before in the X Division. So I'm liking this at this point in time. It's giving the guy a chance to work with guys who can work with his style.
And then you can bring back other people like Desmond Wolfe, telling you, I want to find the guy. He's got to be out there somewhere. We also recently found out some of our friends have placed in wanted posters for the Freak, Rob Terry and Brutus Magnus. We've heard stories apparently that Mr. Magnus somehow made his way to TV this past week. But as said, we're spoiler-free, so we can't delve into that.
I reckon we get our good friend Bill Apter on the case because he seems to be good at tracking down people recently. He found Perry Sad.
Absolutely. To Jason, being a promoter and dealing with companies that have had championships, this promotion right now has Knockout Championship, Knockout Tag Champs, World Title, X Title, World Tag Titles, and now World TV Title. Could we possibly see the TV and X Belt merge at some point, or were we going to possibly see, like, how about we get them World Six Man Belts out of the closet? You know, NWA is not using them. Why not? Or we can get the U.S. Championships or the Mid America. I mean, how many championships is too much, man?
Oh, of course, get more belts. Why not? You know, I
belts
mean,
are pretty.
Geez, are you kidding me? They could just wipe out half of the belts they have. I mean, they can certainly start with the Knockouts tag titles, which they've made meaningless, so okay, that makes sense. Get rid of those, and then just go down the line. But you know, you could go on and on and on, have rants about how, you know, back in the, you know, in the 70s and the 80s and even in the 90s, titles really meant something, and it was easy for the casual wrestling fan to name who the champions were. Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair, okay, you know, with varying versions of who the champions are. But, you know, today, I'm hard-pressed. If I don't tune in each and every week, because there's going to be a title change, and I'm not going to know about it, and I'm going to look like, well, because I don't know who the champion is. And that's just, you know, that's difficult for fans to keep up with. And, you know, it's like, get some titles, stick them on something, on somebody, and just keep it there for a long, 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 long time. And all these extra titles don't mean anything. It just dilutes the product. So, you know. But, you know, what do I know? TNA will probably come out with more titles, like you said. Get the six-man tag out and, you know, brush off every single belt you can find and put it on someone because, you know, you gotta thank people somehow. So they're certainly not paying people from what I understand. So give them a belt.
Yeah, or you're going to have, like, the guy and girl tag team titles. I mean, WSU has the king and queen thing for their promotion, so why not? Let Gaffney and one of the Ink guys have, you know, they have mixed doubles in tennis. Why not? Mixed doubles titles in TNA. Why not?
Do an intergender belt, you know? Do an intergender belt, and there's plenty of stuff. Yeah. There's plenty of room to make belts out of.
Yeah, I mean, we can contact the estate of Andy Kaufman and bring back his title. Why not?
Of course.
Yeah, we're going to transition quickly here to some stuff that Jim Cornette mentioned. And promoters, if you're out there and you're going, I want my stuff talked about on your show, how do I do it? Simple. Radio and online, worldofwrestling.com. We're all about the pimping. We're all about the shilling. Not the pimping in the bad way. We're about the pimping in the good way. If you live in Plymouth, Massachusetts, this Friday night, Ring of Honor will host an event that will take place 83 Court Street, Plymouth Memorial Hall. If you're not able to attend the iPay-per-view that we're going to mention, this will be probably going to DVD. You're going to get to witness a ROH World Tag Title match, a first-time dream bout. The Kings of Wrestling, Chris Hero and Claudio Castagnoli with Shane Hagedorn will take on the dreaded American Wolves, which is Davey Richards and Eddie Edwards. A non-title match because of the event that will take place Saturday. Kenny Omega will take on ROH World Champion Roderick Strong with Truth Martini in a Pick Your Poison rematch. Kevin Steen and Steve Corino will take on the Briscoe Brothers, Mark and Jay. There are two special challenge matches. One half of the All Night Express, Kenny King, will take on Adam Cole, and TJ Perkins will take on Kyle O'Reilly in Trials Series Match 5. Yeah, I can't believe I'm about to say this. ROH World Television Champion, the Fallen Angel, Christopher Daniels, will take on Andy Right Leg Ridge. In a four-corner survival match, you will see El Generico versus the other half of the All-Night Express, Rhett Titus versus Ricky Reyes versus 2010 Jeff Peterson Memorial Cup competitor and an all-around nice guy, Grizzly Redwood. It was a lot of fun to meet at that event, and there are stories that possibly will be going to iPay-per-view, if not DVD soon, so go to fullimpactpro.com and look up the 2010 Jeff Peterson Memorial Cup. And the big one this Saturday, Final Battle 2010, which is at the Manhattan Center on 34th Street on the island of Manhattan. It is on GoFightLive.tv, $14.95. The world champ, the messiah of the backbreaker, Roderick Strong, taking on Davey Richards in a battle without honor. El Generico is putting up his mask versus Kevin Steen's ROH career. The Kings of Wrestling and Shane Hagedorn will take on Mark, Jay, and Daddy Briscoe in a six-man match. Kenny Omega will take on Eddie Edwards, two of our favorites here on Online World of Wrestling Radio. The notorious 187 Homicide is going to clash with the Fallen Angel Christopher Daniels in an ROH Legends match. Speaking of the ladies, we mentioned it with Jim Cornette, Daisy Hayes, and awesome, stupendous Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious Kong will take on former WWE star Serena Deeb and Cara Del Rey. The All Night Express will take on Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly. And you can definitely go to ROHWrestling.com for that one. Our friends at Dragon Gate USA, if you're a fan of that promotion, they've been on iPay-per-view and they have DVDs. And our good friend Lenny Leonard, who also does the commentary for the Jeff Peterson Memorial Cup, said that Dragon Gate USA will finally crown its first tag team champions when the promotion returns to action in January of 2011. The championships will be known as the Open the United Gate Championships. Sounds very ominous. I almost feel like I'm in a big trouble little China going, go to the Open the Gate. Open the Freedom Gate. Here are the teams that have been announced for that event. It will take place over a 14-round round tournament, which will take place January 28th, 29th, and 30th. Each match is going to have a 30-minute time limit, 2 points for a win, one for a draw, and both you lose, you don't get jack crap. Maybe the copy of the home game. After much debate, four teams were picked, and in no particular order, you will see World 1 of Masato Yoshino and Pac, Warriors of Sima and Dragon Kid, Ronin, which is Chuck Taylor and Johnny Gargano, who was in the 2009 Peterson Cup, and Naruki Doi and a mystery partner. The event on the 28th will be at BB King's Blues Club and Grill, which is on 42nd Street, opposite the AMC Empire 25, awesome movie theater. That night you'll see Sima and Dragon Kid take on Yoshino and Pac. Doi and his partner will take on Taylor and Gargano. The 29th in Philadelphia at the former ECW arena, you will see Doi and his partner take on Yoshino and Pac. Sima Dragon Kid will take on Taylor and Gargano. And then on the 30th, at the Ace Arena Union City, you will see Sima Dragon Kid versus Doi and the ex-partner, Yoshino Pac versus Taylor Gargano. All three of these events are available at Dragon Gate's website, which is dgusa.tv, or you can call 267-519-9744. They do have a super ticket option that you can get into the Philly and Union City events at a discount. So if you're a fan of DGUSA, definitely check that out. This Friday night, our friends at All Stars Wrestling in Tampa, Florida at Stroker's Billiards will hold Season's Beatings. It is their last event of the year because the normal Friday night events fall on, well, Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve. The promotion decided to take 2 weeks off and start back fresh in January. You can visit aswfl.com. You're able to watch some guy named Alan Logic and Sean LaFlash, a part of ASW Chain Reaction. You can also go to wrestling911.com for info on that. And Jason actually has some information involving the next Chick Fight event, which I believe is February 5th, sir?
That's correct. February 5th, San Francisco, California. We've got a special Chick Fight match taking place on the big Pro Wrestling Revolution card. It's going to be former TNA Knockout Alyssa Flash going up against WWE Diva Tiffany. So we're really excited about this. We announced this last week on DivaDirt.com, and the boards have just kind of been lit up with people kind of excited to see what's going to happen. One of the things we always try to do with Chick Fight is, you know, we try to put together the unlikely pairings. There are plenty of female promotions out there that'll take the top 5 or 10 or 15 girls and put them in the ring together, and, you know, they always perform and they put on some great matches. But for me as a promoter, what I get a great thrill out of is kind of taking the things that people don't expect and putting it in the ring. And, you know, it's always a roll of the dice. You always hope for the best, but so far we've been pretty lucky and we've gotten some pretty entertaining matches out of it. So anyone in the San Francisco Bay Area, I recommend checking out Pro Wrestling Revolution or chickfight.tv to get tickets, and keep an eye on clickwrestle.com to get the match if you're unable to join us live.
All right, at this point is the point where I also pimp stuff, and that's for the Wild Talk Radio Network, which has been our home since I took the show over and was actually here before me, and thank you each and every week for being here with us on this show. As mentioned by Jason, we're a part of Click Wrestle, we're a part of iTunes. You can get this through the Wild Talk Radio Network website, which is wildtalkradio.com. Wednesday nights, 9 o'clock Eastern on this very network, we do have the folks of Otaku Talk Live, Spug, Mace, and the be-all and all of the network, Omega. And I do believe you're working on a best of show. When will that be airing, Mace?
Best of OTL show, aka the We're Gonna Be Lazy edition, shall be put on live on the 22nd of December. Tomorrow night is our last live show of the year, and believe me, people, we're planning to go out with a bang.
Uh-oh. Do I need to update my homeowner's insurance?
Quite possibly. Just watch All out right. for fallout.
And then some. Unfortunately, due to circumstances beyond our control, the very lovely Cindy Sin is on vacation for the rest of 2010, I believe. Something about Ibiza and all-night adult entertainment thing. I can't be sure. But definitely check out CindySin.com for all information about her. Friday night, 6 p.m., Nick Mav running the ropes. There is no TD Top 20 Country Countdown this week. We apologize for that if you're a fan of the Trey Dog. Midnights, CB Radio will present part one of its Christmas special. We ask you to check out some holiday fun and Santa Subway, who's a big fan of, or a big fan of his, singing some of his very own custom Christmas carols. Oh dear God, I see lawsuits coming. I don't know why. So that is Midnightish with Sir Rockin' Subway and, of course, the Godfather, Rob Parks. Once again, he is amazing and can snore on cue. Before we go and talk about Russell Talk Radio, we do want to talk about a good friend of ours here on the network, and that is Johnny Casimir, who has a very entertaining and educational program, 7 p.m. on Sunday, called Life is Callous. He has featured John Wesley Shipp on that show, the former Flash. Possibly we'll have Stevie Richards on, who does personal training advice on the side. I believe Diamond Dallas Page, the former WCW World Champion and Yoga Master, will possibly be involved there. And, of course, Sunday nights, normally 10 o'clock, but this Sunday, because we're going to be watching TLC, Russell Talk Radio will be on at 11 p.m., so you can have Tim Stein, Mace, Spug, Will, who made an appearance this past Sunday. Always fun to have Will around. Omega, and of course, if I'm allowed to and I can mentally sustain watching this pay-per-view, I'll definitely be around. apologize, but after 2.5 hours, the voice is going way away and has a bottle of water screaming my name somewhere. Want to thank, as always, Brad Dykens, Jason Dedrich, for giving me this form each and every week. And it's a lot of fun to have Jason here. He will be back in and out, depending on his business schedule, because he is the boss. So he sits in the 133rd floor of a very nice tower in California, Towering Inferno style. We're honored that he was able to be here with us. Want to thank Mace, Spug, who joined us for our interview with the legend that is Jim Cornette. We are tentatively scheduled to have Kayfabe Commentary's boss Sean Oliver on next week to address the catalog for 2011 that we've already addressed, including You Shoot Iron Sheik, including Timeline History of WWE 2001, I beg your pardon, with Lisa Moretti, also known as Ivory. And yes, we've got podcasts. If you're thinking, going, dude, you're missing people. No, I'm not. Is there a possibility of bashing the books this week? Have you been able to compile some stuff for your podcast?
Believe it or not, yes, I did, but at the same time, I've now misplaced the books. I'm currently sitting here going, I had something planned. Where did it all go? But I shall endeavor. The new book releases start tomorrow, and I believe that there are some stuff from last week that I'm wanting to get to as well. I shall dig those out of the digital archives and sit there and go, yes, you should buy this. No, you shouldn't, and here's why. But, yes, there shall be a bashing the books this week, come hell, high water, or cold sandwich.
Yes. Now, Will, I know you guys have had fun. The Tap Outs and Knockouts crew also does a weekly podcast, you and Spug. Unfortunately, due to circumstances beyond my control and not being a big fan of it, I didn't watch UFC this week, but I know you guys and Sir Rock actually did some live commentary. How did that go, and what do we have in store for the next Tap Out to Knockout?
The actual commentary was quite amusing, despite, you know, Spug going head-to-head with Jim Cornette over the idea of mixed martial arts. We are not that bad on analysis. I believe if you catch the CB Radio archive, there might even be that commentary during the GSP Koscheck fight, where we actually sit there and talk about the fight as it happens and go, oh wow, that's wow, and stuff like that. So we should have the fallout from UFC 124 this week, if we can pin down a timing to sit down and go, yes, this is the show, let's record it. But as you've known recently, Spug is very inundated with snow that he needs to plow.
Go, so plow, go. And we're not talking the kind that Jeff Hardy made. All right. And in tribute to the fallen band of Lynyrd Skynyrd, the Van Zandt brothers, and everyone else, what better way to go out than with the song that launched the fabulous Freebirds and is a staple of Southern rock everywhere. Thank you for joining us here at Freebird. Have a good night.